Oh, hey, I'm Matt. I don't show up for a month, and then I call my co-host dipshits. Oh, Matt.
We're live,
Lumberjack
Kate.
Matt.
All right.
Millionaire Matt. Big Mad Matt. I had no nicknames for a really long time. And now I've got like eight.
Do you want me to do the intro, or you just want to start the show like this?
Whatever. Whatever floats your fancy boat.
I would have loved to do the intro without Kate going off.
Yeah, well, that was the plan, but I guess... Do you want me to hit the button now? It's ready.
Just play the goddamn intro, would you?
Do not adjust your radio dial. You are tuned in to the Mark Order Podcast. Join the Mark Order.
Am I allowed to do the intro or no?
Who are you?
Who are you?
I never know what he's doing over there.
You know what? It's been a while since I've done this, so I had to make sure that we are live on The Rant, we are live on Facebook, and I am recording on GarageBand. So, it looks like all systems are go, Gravitron.
Lumberjack Matt! Welcome back!
Lumberjack Matt, Millionaire Matt, Searching for His Smile Matt. I thought maybe this week you were going to be following Jackal on tour, Matt. But you're just straight back heel, Matt.
I don't know why I'm a heel, though. What did I do
Captain!
Now?
You're a heel.
I don't think Rhiannon's home, so I go, I'm a fucking heel, motherfucker. Nah, she's not home. Motherfucker, not home. Here's Nelly in her butthole. There you go. She missed you. Get off the table, Nelly. You're a fucking bitch.
You're a heel, man. God dang.
Why am I a heel?
Putting over Monday nights as your favorite night.
Oh, my God.
Doing other podcasts. Oh, I just use Aunt and Kate for our company to ROH. Who knows if we'll even go? I'll just hang out with Milwaukee Tom and his wife the whole time.
All right, beats you. I don't care. More room for me to fucking stretch my legs out in Baltimore.
That's why you're a heel. God,
why?
Why not?
I mean, you make time for everybody but us. Oh. I mean, how am I not supposed to feel hurt over that? And then you go on this other, from the apron rope.
Apron bump.
Bump.
This younger,
thing.
Sexier podcast.
Yeah.
Leave us in the lurch.
Another Wednesday podcast.
All right, first of all, that was not recorded Wednesday. That was recorded Monday.
It's on a Wednesday.
It fucking dropped on a Wednesday. I recorded it on Monday.
Did you even put us over, Matt?
No, I didn't mention the Mark Order podcast once.
Exactly.
Which is fucked up, because this is an ECW podcast.
No, it's not an ECW podcast.
It might as well be. It was WWE Dynamite tonight. It could be ECW Dynamite next week. It could be ECW Dynamite for all I know.
It's going to be WWE ECW.
You know what? Hold on. I'm fucking back the truck up here, you fucking jerk-offs, okay? Back it up.
We're the jerk-offs, Kate.
Yeah.
We've been holding it down the past 3-4 weeks, but we're the jerk-offs.
No, yeah, don't you make it out like I had better things to do than do the podcast Wednesday. Kate was here on Father's Day. She watched the fucking pay-per-view with me. Fucking the three of you were in that fucking Discord thing. And afterwards, I heard Ryan Schlong reach out to Kate and said, Matt don't look like he's doing well. Like, he looks like he's a defeated man.
Like a broken shell of a man.
You think I would rather fucking work like a fucking, like someone owes me a fucking farm and a horse than do this podcast? You're crazy. Cool.
Do they owe you a farm and a horse?
They might as well.
I mean, then maybe we reach out to Hangman. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying is if we have the horse, we could run Sammy Guevara over
Stop
with it
Nelly.
And make friends with Adam Page, because he is not a part of an exclusive group. He's
and,
just friends with everyone.
And this Monday was the fucking first Monday in a month that I've done a whole episode of the Shining Wizards Wrestling podcast. So fuck all y'all making it seem like I pick everybody else over you. Get out of here.
Monday is my favorite night of the week because Monday. I get to talk wrestling with my friends. Yeah. What is Wednesday nights?
Well, I haven't been able to do Wednesday nights, Aunt, because I've been fucking working.
Oh, working, quote unquote. You were looking for your smile.
Stick
you
your
had legal,
I will stick your fucking
you had
hand
legal
in the
troubles.
Pizza oven.
You've been in Canada.
No,
you're
these are
a millionaire.
This is all Dave Meltzer reported bullshit. Okay.
Oh no. This is firsthand.
Okay, it's not like, look, if you go to Kate's boyfriend, SRS, he knows the truth. Matt's been working. He's got my schedule. He knows where I've been. He knows who I've been doing things with. You know, you're over here reporting the fucking Dave Meltzer style, making up, I'm in Canada? No. My fucking passport's not even good, bud.
Listen, then you cross the border illegally, and that's not my problem. You've just admitted to crossing illegally.
You know what? I fucking jaywalk all the time, too, all right? You fucking narc.
You are a shoot lumberjack, though. There's a picture of it on the Mark Order Podcast Twitter.
Yeah, I know.
I try. Yeah. I know how to entertain. I'm not like someone else that does the show on Monday night that doesn't get entertainment. My poor wife, I'm like, you got to take a picture of me in front of this woodpile, wife. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, just take the fucking picture, please, before we go to the fucking diner.
What diner did you go to?
The Randolph Diner.
I'm not even calling you a heel anymore. I'm just asking you what diner you went to.
I told
bro.
You the fucking Randolph Diner. No, you guys are trying to make me out like I'm fucking Adolf Hitler over here because I didn't do this fucking podcast for 3 weeks because I have better than like I'm fucking sitting around with my dick and balls out like, oh, guess what? I'm not going to do the podcast. I'd rather play with my dick and balls for 4 hours.
Sounds about accurate.
I wouldn't blame you if you did. I don't and, have them, but I hear that it's good.
So, hold on. You wouldn't blame me if I did. So, Kate is saying she wouldn't blame me if I said, type, hey, guys, I would rather play with my dick and balls than do this podcast. Kate's like, yeah, I get it. I understand.
I mean, I literally don't, but...
I mean...
So much has happened since you've been gone.
Yeah, Dynamite moved to Saturday nights. I get it.
Saturday nights, it switched. It's now owned by WWE. Marco Stunt is your BTE champion.
That's not a it's real championship.
What's
it's real. It's defended more than the FTW belt.
It's not
it's
real.
It's
not real. It's a made-up thing for a YouTube show. That championship holds as much weight as the fucking Zack Ryder internet champion bullshit.
Hey, that got him a job that he then never had to work at.
It's a very good point.
I hope a fucking bear eats Marco Stunt.
Well,
wait, like Bear Bronson or like a shoot bear?
No, Bear Bronson is not a bear. He's a dude and he just named himself Bear Bronson.
He could be a bear.
He's
you
not
don't
a
know
fucking
he
bear. He's not a man bear. He's not Jim Halpert bear fucking boy or whatever dumb shit Pam drew in the comic.
Matt, you
he
know
could
what
be
a, you
man
know
bear
a,
pig?
You know what a bear is, though, Matt, right?
Yes, like, I know. If I was gay, I would be a bear. I know. I get
it. Would you be a harness bear?
Grr.
Oh, my God. We could be Goldilocks and the Three Bears.
I'll wear
out.
A harness
and
everybody
That's
else will.
Kate, you just won. It's not going to get any better than this. It's been fun. I'm just going to turn off my screen, see if my wife's home. Maybe she's going to make some dinner.
Wouldn't be the first time you bailed in the middle of the show.
Doesn't
so,
get any
on.
Better than Goldilocks and the Three Bears. So why am I a heel?
We all have to wear harnesses if we're going to do that gimmick, though.
We've got a harness for you.
Yeah, I know
fucking
you do.
Tie around
no,
your neck.
You don't have to wear harnesses. You just have to go to the gay club and let me bring a video camera so I could see how much you guys clean up at the gay club.
That's why you
got to wear a harness. You got to go on harness night.
I'm not going to any club to begin with, let alone gay, straight. Fuck that noise. I'm too old for that shit.
Matt,
at any club is so funny to think about.
But Matt wasn't here. Matt wasn't here for Strip Clubs and AE Dubs, episode 12. So, Matt, we did find out, though, that our good friend Ryan Schlong has never been to the strip club. I think we got to get him to the strip club because he'd clean up.
Why? It's fucking overrated.
No, we got to get him there.
After 5 minutes of looking at them, it gets boring. And then what? Here's a nickel. Let me see your pussy. Then you got to ask him creepy questions for an hour. It's boring.
Where are you going that it's a nickel?
It's fucking boring. And then there's always the one guy in your group who thinks he's going to bring home a stripper. Guess what? It's her fucking job to make you think she's going to fuck you. So you give her all your money, stupid.
I just want to know where you're going that it's a nickel. What? Right.
20 nickels, Kate. 20 nickels.
Kate, this guy talks about somebody on Monday nights not going along with stuff, and boy, he just destroys everything within one sentence.
I didn't destroy anything. I'm with the schlong. They're overrated. They're no fun. And like I said, after 5 minutes,
no.
Then you start asking creepy questions, then you get kicked out.
You're the one asking creepy questions.
Of course, because there's nothing fun about a half-naked chick dancing in front of you that just wants your money. If anything, I'm going to ask her creepy fucking questions. You want a dollar?
Wait. Why are you going to the half naked place? Is my first question.
Because they don't serve alcohol at the fully naked places.
Yeah, but you could bring a keg in with you.
A fucking BYOB. That's too much work. It's not a fucking restaurant. It's a fucking dirty strip club.
I missed you so much.
It's way cheaper.
Missed you so much.
Yeah, all the dick bags from fucking New Jersey with their white claws going to the fucking juice bar, you fucking tools.
Wait, what? So first of all, this is only making me want to go more. Like, I'll fund it at this point. I don't care. I'll bring all the nickels in the land. Second of all, what questions are you asking them?
You
is it your murder
them,
questions?
You just ask them creepy questions. I haven't been like in a strip club in years. I don't know.
I need to know, like, 3 shoot questions you're going to ask a stripper. Is it while she's stripping?
In Atlantic City, I asked a girl if I pulled the string, would the shades come down? Because her fucking tampon string was hanging out of her.
That's her fault for wearing the gimmick to
the job.
I mean,
that's my fault for going to a fucking strip club in Atlantic City, too.
There it is.
Oh, my gosh.
There's the real issue.
I'm just a mess. I don't know what to tell you.
We've been down this road before, and you missed it, Matt.
That's
we're not going to go down this road again.
I'm great with that.
So you're a heel. We're past that. You're our heel, though. So thanks for coming back.
You're not welcome. If I'm a heel, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Go fuck your
whatever.
Not your best heel work.
Yeah.
You're not welcome.
Did you
bro.
Say I'm best heel? Like the fucking. If you close your eyes,
like
that guy, that's Bastille.
I have no idea.
Oh my gosh, best.
So moving on. We did have a live Dynamite tonight, but there was Dynamite on Saturday night. So we're not going through the whole goddamn show.
Now you don't want to do a fucking 6-hour show? When I fucking open in Spotify, I see it's 6 hours long. That was a legit question. No one's going to answer. You're all just going to fucking look at me.
Why am I a heel? Hey, man, it's manifest. I don't know why you turned into Cartman there. But
I did or you did?
You did. Yes.
Man, you are grumpy tonight.
This is what you wanted. This is what you wanted all day. You started the other day with, let me screen cap what Matt put on social media. You fucking hand jobs.
He said, Monday night is your favorite night of the week.
It is.
You get to talk wrestling with your friends.
Yeah, it
what
is.
What do we do
and
here
then,
on Wednesday night? And then you go to another show and talk wrestling with guys you don't even know.
How about him trying to bury us by sharing our post and then sharing that post just
that
on our
hysterical.
Same page? But we
right.
had to delete it, Matt.
Dumbass.
Saturday night Dynamite. Saturday
night. Fucking
night's
Wednesday
all right for
nights, I'm up till fucking 2 o'clock in the morning doing this bullshit, listening to you complain about the same shit you complain about every fucking week. Okay. How do you
listen,
like them
pumpkin
apples?
Pumpkin Patch. Nobody said
who's Patch?
That you had to go and shit on us on our own page.
You asked for it.
Or our own show.
You asked for it.
And.
I don't have the power to mute Kate, so I can't mute him.
Do you
it's
think?
So upsetting.
Do you think we should just talk about Dynamite, Saturday Night Dynamite, and just leave him alone?
Sorry, Matt. That was the rhythm we got into while you were fucking gone.
The rhythm of the night.
This is the rhythm of the night. Oh, Nelly, I miss Nelly's.
I was thinking of DeBarge. Rhythm of the night. Feel the beat of the rhythm of the night. Dance until the morning light.
DeBarge, huh?
There's touch less dancing when you're not here. I will say that.
All right, so let's talk about Saturday. How have you guys adjusted to Friday's and Saturday night Dynamites?
Well, I mean, wasn't really going out and doing much anyway, so I just sit home and watch. But it's been fun. We've been watching along in the Discord. So we'd sit in the watch along channel. We'd cam up. Schlong was in this week. Kate was in until she decided she's too cool for the room and said, Mike, her excuse is my app crashed. Well, guess what? You know what the solution for that is? Delete the app, restart your phone, and reinstall the app.
Derp, like I didn't try that. And second of all, Asian Joe was also in there. He's our new friend. I like Asian Joe a lot. And was Berg wasn't there this week, but he's been in there in the past. It's been a good time when you don't go to load your app and it just hangs there. But voice channel is super fun. It has not been great having it on Fridays and Saturdays. I haven't like loved that. I was very, very glad to get back to Wednesdays today. But Saturday was definitely, I think, the strongest episode in the most missable era of AEW Dynamite, I feel like, since probably they started. And I don't think that was surprising. And I don't think it was unintentional. I think they knew exactly what they were up against. And they were like, we're going to front load this shit for when we're back on the road and back on Wednesday. So that being said, I don't want to go through everything on Saturdays because I don't want it to be a 6-hour show, Matt. But the main event was a fucking banger match. If this is Kenny Omega working injured, holy shit, dude. That match with Jungle Boy was incredible. I love matches with a million near falls. And that had a lot of very suspenseful ones, so I will take it. But it was a strong episode overall, and we can talk about it a little bit more, but to me that stole the night. It was fantastic.
It should also be noted that from a ratings perspective, they did pretty good with an overall audience of 649,000 and a 0.21 in the 18 to 49 demographic. That's pretty good. It did peak at the main event, which was a 0.28 share. And at that point in time, it would have been going up against the basketball game. So that's a pretty strong hold for Kenny Omega Jungle Boy. So, you know, maybe Jungle Boy's got a little bit of juice. You know, I think that they definitely knew what they were doing booking this match for the last Dynamite, excuse me, before moving back to Wednesdays. And it was, you know, like Kate said, the, you know, million near falls in that main event. I'm not always a fan of that, but it worked really well in this match. So the main event was fantastic. Other than that, there was a bunch of good stuff, you know, throughout the show. You know, Hangman and Powerhouse Hobbs was a pretty good match. We saw Paige win, so he kind of took a step up in the right direction with the rankings. We also had Dante Martin versus Matt Sydal, which was a fun match. And leading into that, Vicky did come out with Andrade, and Matt Sydal's entrance cut him off. So we'll see what kind of effect that had moving forward. So those were a couple of the fun things that we had. We also had a Bear Bronson, Ethan Page match. So we did see Bear Bronson, and actually Bear Boulder was at ringside. So it looks like maybe he's on the way back and we'll get to see them tag a little bit again. We also saw Chris Statlander versus the Bunny. And then we had our main event. So it was a pretty decent show. You know, the main event went the way we thought it was going to go, right? Nobody, I don't think anybody thought Jungle Boy was actually going to win this match, but it was a lot of fun. I thought it was actually a pretty fun show for a Saturday night when, you know, if you're not watching basketball, there's really not much else to do. So not a bad show. Matt, I honestly don't know. Did you see any of this show?
No, I haven't watched Dynamite in 3 weeks.
Until tonight or no?
Until tonight. I caught, well, I don't, can't be too loud about it, but you got my text messages, so I missed more than I should have seen, but I did catch the last hour of Dynamite tonight for undisclosed reasons.
Okay. Well, we don't have to go into it, but I just figured if you saw it, you could certainly comment. But yeah, Matt, I would certainly say, Matt, if you can get the chance to see the main event, I would definitely check it out because it was probably the best Jungle Boy we've seen, you know, since being in AEW. He definitely rose to the occasion.
I think the best Jungle Boy I saw was Monday with a handful of something. If I can just double back to the Kate with the Discord thing with her app. Anthony, sure. just to put it in perspective, she sent the same email 6 times today to us. So just know what you're dealing with, okay?
Twice.
And she sent it to us, and it was meant for Ryan. And she had the wrong email for me, who was on the email, who she was literally responding to.
I copied it from the thing.
Allie.
No, it was Kate. My name isn't even right.
Okay, well that makes that makes no sense. I was very busy today. All right.
Obviously.
I was on the go. I was doing shit. I was making things happen. It's what I do. I make things happen.
With our Facebook page.
That's always like, what's your shoe job? And I was like, I make things happen.
With our Facebook page.
Working on it. At least I'm not disparaging us on our own Facebook page. That's a step in the right direction.
Poor Anthony puts in, he's got a child, he's got a wife, he also lives with his mother-in-law, he works a crazy schedule at his job, he breaks his ass, and every Wednesday night all he wants to do is sit down and talk about AEW with us. And the minute the show starts, he instantly regrets it, and then he's like a father who has to deal with his 2 children who were just the fucking most annoying people in the world. And he's like, I should have just jerked off both those nights I banged their mother. And they wouldn't be here if I just jerked off and went to bed instead of going out to the bar, getting loaded and banging some broad. Now I got these 2 little assholes doing a podcast with me.
But then my favorite comes in sometime later, reminds me why I did it all in the first place. That would be Ryan for a little tip of the schlong. We'll get there. We'll get there.
Oh, I was ready. There. I was ready. I was ready.
We'll get there. But
why? What else do I have to do?
You wanted to ask Kate about the app. Sorry.
I didn't want to ask her about it, the app. I just wanted to put it into the perspective. You were telling her how to re-download it, delete it, and then this is also the same person who sent 6 emails. So maybe not technologically sound. Technologically technological.
No, you're right. Technological.
I'm as bad with technology as you are with just like the English language. How's that, Matt?
Seems about right. It doesn't offend me. It's my track record. I know what I'm bad at.
Well, then if there's nothing else to discuss, we certainly could, Matt, bring in our buddy Ryan Schlong. Oh, there's PCO.
That was underwhelming.
Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're about to receive a little tip of the schlong.
Oh, fuck. Ryan, long time no see, buddy. How are you?
Hey, guys. It's good to have you back. Glad you're alive.
I'm glad to be alive.
I was worried about you.
I am PCO. PCO is here for dark.
Can we just have PCO the rest of the episode?
You can have whatever you want,
for
Kate.
Those of you listening in podcast form and not on the Facebook, A, you're missing out. And B, I have a feeling Matt will be rotating in his ROH pillow buddies, of which he has 6, as we mentioned last week.
Not
7, but 6. And right now we've got the lovely PCO. PCO, how have you been? How's it going, buddy?
I'm good. It will only be 4 because the other 2 were really hard to put on the shelf over there, and I'm not taking them down.
Ooh, which ones got sacrificed, bro?
None that got sacrificed, but Roosh and Bandito are looking at us while we do this podcast.
Got it.
Mr. Ryan Schlong, how was dark?
Well, the forbidden door is definitely open. We've now been invaded by ROH. Dark was good.
Where did Anthony go?
He said he'd be right back.
Did he send a message?
He did.
Oh, did he? Yeah, let me see.
Well, you were out of the room. PCO was talking.
I gotta go for a minute. BRB, LOL. So you didn't know. You listened to the Monday Night Show, Schlong Man. Wheeler Utah, he also worked Ring of Honor, and he's very, very popular in the independent scene. So I was very excited to see that he was on Dark Elevation, right? He was on Dark Elevation?
Against Carl Anderson.
Machine Gun Carl Anderson. And your notes, you said Carl Anderson's a very good wrestler. Carl Anderson is an excellent wrestler. A couple of years ago, he made it way to the finals of the G1 Climax in New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, that was a really good match. I just, I happened to be listening to you guys as you said his Wheeler Utah's name, and I'm like, but he's on my screen. I had no idea who he was.
It's the second time that happened, isn't it? Wasn't it VSK? Was
yeah, but VSK was getting interviewed. That was cooler.
There you go. That was pretty sick. And I think that happened with Thunder Rosa, where you guys have had guests on the Monday Night Show and on Dark or Elevation. I was also very excited to see Wheeler Yuta. I heard he had an NXT tryout as well, so I'm hoping AEW snatches him up before he goes there, because he's extremely, extremely skilled wrestler. I really like him, and I want him pushed to the moon. Did he get any offense in? I didn't see any Dark.
He did. It was a real match. Good. It wasn't long enough where I would say it was like this match you have to go see, but they actually let them wrestle, which was nice. After hearing his name, I like to, you know, see something from the guy. So it was definitely a good match, just not long enough to warrant hunting down if you missed it.
Sure.
I saw you were pretty high on the Rio Kylan King match too.
So Kylan King has grown on me because of Dark and Sammy's vlog. I was shocked to see Riho on TV, on any version of TV, whether it's through my YouTube app or whatever, but they got to lay off her size. It's killing me. I'm watching her wrestle, and they're like, she's so small. You're just making it worse, because she doesn't have like Rey Mysterio style offense where you're seeing her do all these cool flips and it works to her favor. It just makes her look worse that she's this tiny lady going against bigger people. She's like, just stop. Just, you probably wouldn't pay attention to it if you just stopped talking about it.
So I got a question. So like, Matt, for you, who is, you're not a fan of somebody like Marco Stunt, who's like way too small, shouldn't be in there, you know, not believable that you can compete. Do you feel the same way about Riho? Cause that's very much how I feel.
No, Riho, she marches to the beat of her own drum. She is a former world champion, and she's not a hanger on like Marco Stunt.
Like,
whose cape is Rio hanging on to?
What does it matter? Her size, it's the same thing. There's a size discrepancy.
No. Marco Stunt, he's a hanger-on, okay? He got with the Dinosaur and Big Dick Swinging Larry, whatever his name is. JP, all right? Yeah, Jack Perry. Not Jungle Boy. He's Big Dick Swinging JP now, okay?
Okay, all right.
He's trying to live in his shadow. First he was on his coattails. Now he wants to be like him. I don't like him. All right, let's shave his head. Let's get him out of here.
I know you don't like him. I was just asking because I see Riho the same way. If you're not into Marco Stunt because of his size and the fact that you can't possibly compete in the same world as some of these other guys, for me, it's the same thing with Riho. I just don't see how she can possibly come out with wins over people twice her size. I just don't understand the appeal of Riho.
I don't like any of the women's wrestling, so.
So all I'll say to that is I agree with you, but Riho, the only difference is Riho doesn't look too bad when you put her against most of the women's division. It's only when you put her against a Nyla or a Kylan King or someone like that where the size really comes in. Whereas Marco against everyone looks really small.
So how come we don't hate Daniel Bryan? Because he's just that fucking good.
He's not as small as Marco.
Because Daniel Bryan's not in the ring doing the fucking dumb floss dance and looking like a 6-year-old.
Okay, but point being, like, if you have Daniel Bryan versus Braun, he should lose every time, right? Is it just that Daniel Bryan's that good? That's a completely valid take because he's one of the best technical wrestlers, like, ever. But, like, what is it about the disparity with Daniel Bryan or wrestlers like him that you can buy into believing he could beat a monster, or do you just not care as much?
Because I think Marco Stunt is garbage.
Okay, I don't think
he's a good wrestler. Okay. He flosses in the ring. He looks like a 12-year-old, and it's not believable. Daniel Bryan has muscles. Daniel Bryan can wrestle.
Okay.
I don't know if I ever saw Daniel Bryan fight Braun Strowman, so I can't.
But big dudes.
Can't comment. Well, no, I know, but I mean, I don't know if I was that deep into WWE where he was fighting Braun Strowman. Maybe I did, and I'm just.
You probably missed it. It was probably in between Braun Strowman wrestling the dudes from Saturday Night Live and doing all the comedy stuff with the kid. He won the tag titles with the kid, you know.
Nicholas.
That's what you, what you do with the monsters, that. You know. That's how you build. He'd be a great fit in AEW, though.
Well, I mean, this is WWE Dynamite, so.
So
we get it, kid. He said WWE Dynamite.
He also said Kenny Omega was the WWE champion. That's fucking bad.
I don't disagree. We get it.
Do a shot every time Kate says. Terrible joke, Kevin. Do a shot every time Kate says WWE Dynamite tonight. You'll be fucking. You won't even make it this far. You'd be on the floor by now. You'd be dead.
I'm half
but
in
you
the
know
bag.
What? Ants earned it. Ants should take a shot every time I make a shitty joke. He's fucking earned it. Breaking his back for this podcast when you weren't fucking here.
God.
All right.
Nobody cares.
So I'm sorry. I derailed us at Riho. And, go ahead, Schlong.
Well, so we've been a little all over, so that's fine. So I want to point out.
Matt fell down. If you're not watching on Facebook, Matt fell down. And now PCO is back. Schlong, take it
away.
Hey,
PCO, did you hear that or see that they put Eddie Kingston's speech that was after Dynamite actually on Dark, like a proper cut of it?
I thought
that was...
I did not see that. I am not human.
All right.
Well, then,
just
Kate,
keep
do you
moving.
Have anything to say?
Well, we are going to talk about Eddie's thing later. So we'll get Kate's thoughts on it later. But we know that she has a woman sized boner for Eddie. So, it was interesting to see that they did that, Schlong. I did watch the show. And I thought it was interesting that they put it on the front, and we'll talk about a little bit more about that later. We'll get everybody's take on it, but it was interesting to see the real cut and not just somebody's cell phone footage on Twitter.
Also, hi people in the Facebook. Hi Berg. Hi Asian Joe. Hi everybody else I'm forgetting. Brendan, people that won't get mad because I remembered to shout them out this week.
Asian Joe seems like a racist thing to call him.
He calls himself that.
Is he Asian? Does.
Yeah,
yes,
he has a little Asian Joe logo in the Discord. Get on board or get left behind, buddy.
Fair enough.
So we saw our former women's champ on Elevation in Hikaru Shida versus Reka Tahaka. I've seen Shida more now.
Who is Shida?
She was women's champ, apparently. We didn't see much of her at that point, but now I'm getting to see her a lot.
For what, like 2 weeks she held the belt?
Apparently almost like the entire run of AEW.
Wow. I had no idea.
And she's fucking cooler now, by the way, with her cool haircut and her cool gear and her better matches.
Is that what you want to call it?
The whole reign.
You want to call it cooler?
It's definitely cooler than white pants, Hillary Clinton pantsuit, Shida, that we were seeing.
You know,
I like this a lot better.
You know, it'd be cool if we didn't have a woman on the podcast because then we wouldn't have to talk about dog shit women's wrestling.
Oh my God. Just go fuck yourself like 17 ways. Go fuck every one of your dumb little fucking pillow buddies so hard and come all over PCO's face for all I care.
So, Matt, I don't know if you were maybe you weren't listening. I think you were off, but we did find out that Kate does not use condoms.
Oh my God.
Nope, I was here for that.
See, it's been that long, I can't even remember.
I caught that one.
Okay.
Also, this is a little tip of the Schlong. He brought up Shida, not me. So GFY.
He was moving pretty quickly.
Go fuck yourself is what that stands for, Matt.
Thank you, Ryan.
No, I was thinking like, you know, Dark is like 90 plus minutes, right? What's the point? What's the point of Powerhouse Hobbs beating Marco Stunt in less than a minute?
Records, rankings, bro.
Did you book that? I honestly thought like to
not
get a whole book.
I
just want him hurt.
I would not book Marco Stunt. That's the thing.
Even to get hurt by Will Hobbs.
Here's in this review, right? Someone wrote, "I was disappointed Stunt didn't get destroyed here," and I didn't write it. I like them apples. God. Oh, Charlotte Renegade. These are what is this? WCW 1995? Jesus Christ.
No, it's WWE Dynamite, bitches.
Drink up.
You should.
Oh, JD Drake.
Get drunk
lost?
Enough, we'll go to the strip club.
Yeah, JD Drake lost, but he had a good match.
That's the fucking it. Who'd he lose to? Oh, Frankie Kazarian.
Yeah, he lost to, like, you know, wasn't.
I thought I on this match listing it said Angelico underneath, and I was like, Angelico beat fucking JD Drake? Ugh.
What fuck are you looking at? Oh, he jumped ahead to Dark. We're talking Elevation.
Oh, sorry. My bad. I'm sorry. I'm a little rusty.
No kidding. So, all right. Let's fucking keep moving forward. So, moving forward to Dark, because Shlong, we'll get your matches of each show. Well, yeah. And so now you're dragging us all forward with you. So,
oh, Abaddon wrestled.
That's she exciting. Did. She was a squash match.
Shlong, if I can yes. call you Shlong.
You can.
Thoughts on Holodead?
They didn't give her anything.
I see.
She was squashed.
That's a shame.
And I was shocked because I know she teamed up with Thunder Rosa, so I thought they might actually give her a match. And no, just a pure squash. It was disappointing.
Oh,
probably
Nyla
more
Rose.
In coming weeks, I would get Holodead. I really like her, and she does have a long-standing history with Thunder Rosa and has been kind of tearing up the indies in general. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's like a VSK situation where she's on multiple weeks, or like we've seen Willow Nightingale, where this week maybe it's a super squash, and then next week she gets a little offense in, but is still losing or whatever. So I'm hopeful that they'll give her more. But let's just let Matt read the email and keep asking about questions in any order he chooses.
I'm sorry, this is not my segment. This is the Schlong segment, so I'm going to...
I like it. It's interaction.
That's
I'll tell
you
what.
Interesting. That's how this usually works. Well, I'll turn my microphone off so you can talk.
Actually, I want your comment on this because I'm not familiar with Blade outside of AEW. I don't think I realized how well he could go in the ring, and he had two pretty good matches in Elevation and regular Dark. Was he a good wrestler elsewhere, or was I just missing it?
No. Pepper Parks was fantastic. He did a bunch of stuff in CZW, and then he was part of the greatest wrestling wedding ever on Impact.
I've seen highlights of that.
It's as much as people think I'm. It is the look. I know Impact gets a lot of shit when he decides he's gonna go with Allie instead of Chelsea Green. The fucking Impact Zone goes fucking bananas. It's a great, great wrestling wedding, and it was like everyone knew it was gonna go that way. But yeah, he's good. He's real good. He's an older fella, too, so it's about time he got this recognition. I know he was doing the Pepper Parks thing for a while, and then when he started doing stuff at Beyond Wrestling, that's when he put on that creepy mask and became the Blade and started teaming with Andy, and that's when they really, like, fucking took off.
Yeah, because he looked really good in both nights, and I think he really made Sonny look good. Sonny Kiss, I think that was a fun match with a very entertaining ending. In case anyone didn't see it, Sonny loses, and then Hardy Family Office comes out, and they start beating up Sonny. So the best friends make the save because they're feuding with them, and then Janela runs out trying to act like he was running them off, acting tough, and it was just Janela is really doing well right now between his behind the scenes interviews with Marvez and his work in the ring. I think he's doing really good.
I was surprised that Janela did come out at some point to make the save. I thought he was already halfway to Mommy Milkers. So
he was frustrated. He was just frustrated.
He's just frustrated. I mean, who's not?
Gonna say that in the email I wanted to call out that I really appreciated Baron Black versus Wardlow. That the description for the match was the soon-to-be UFC champion easily beat Black because of Wardlow's stunning MMA debut. So I just want to appreciate that note. I'm assuming, are these like squashes, to Matt's point, do they feel like they're quick enough in breaking up the pace of the show for us, or do they feel like completely useless? Are they padding the rankings? As snarky about them as I am, like, is there a reason we're getting these squashes? Like, does it work with the flow of the show, or are they just there to be there to give guys a paycheck?
So from my opinion, there's two categories here. People like Wardlow, it literally, I think, is just to pump up his record and make him look like a badass. Because if I see him on dark, I know it's a squash. There's been a couple other random squashes. Like Tay Conti pretty much essentially had a squash. I didn't see that coming. So that was a fun change of pace. It wasn't quite a squash, but it was close enough to one. So, and then there's sometimes where you think a squash is coming and it doesn't. So I like it. It helps keep things fresh when they're changing it up like that. But Wardlow, Archer, Will Hobbs, and Nyla Rose, if you see them walk out, you know it's a squash. Gotcha. The only fun thing is Archer, at least they try to get creative with.
That makes sense.
We did see Sean Dean have a match and come away with a win. So maybe they're going to start giving Sean Dean a little push here, huh?
Oh, the captain. Nice.
My jaw was dropped. I was like, wait, he got a win? I was like, oh, this JDX guy must be someone good. They're going to give him a win.
Yeah, it's good to see, you know, them give the captain a win here. He did get an entrance, too. He was just waiting in the ring for them to start the match. So I was like, oh, he's actually going to get a win here. So it was good. I mean, Sean Dean can go. So
I like Sean Dean. Man. I just don't think I've ever seen him win.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. Anything? Oh, we would be remiss to leave out Sage Scott and Jake St. Patrick versus the Wingmen. You know, Kate's favorites here. They were all out there for us to really get a good look at. But I think again, Pretty Peter Avalon kind of steals the show.
So Pretty Peter's amazing. His facial expressions are just a highlight. I will say, if anyone asks me the value of Dark and Elevation, there's a couple people I'd point to. Will Hobbs is one because he got made on it. I think the Wingmen are the other one. I mean, they're getting very over, and they have almost exclusively been Dark and Dark Elevation, getting some BTE time, which has helped them. So that's really the value of these shows, where you can see fans start to like these people when they have had very little success on Dynamite in terms of they're there quickly, they lose. So that they're just a highlight every time they're on. I love watching them.
I do really quickly want to say that our poll this week was about who's the hottest member of the Wingmen. And Pretty Peter Avalon, who is the hottest member, only got 8% of the poll, but JD Drake got 45%, which makes sense. The Hollywood Hunk, the least hunky, got 33%, and Cesar Bononi, 14%. Give Pretty Peter Avalon some love, people. He's so pretty. Come on.
And he may have the best fashion. I mean, we're still holding out hope that in some way this makes it to the Wingmen, and they just do a run-in at some point and can give us a... can give, well, not us, just give Kate a makeover.
Please. She needs it. I do.
Well, we're holding out hope that somebody hears this and will decide that they want to come help out Kate at some point.
Well, if they're watching on Facebook, there's only 30 of them, so tell your friends, people.
Yeah, we probably have more if you weren't posting about how we suck on our own page.
But no, I didn't say you sucked. I said I hope you got eaten by a shark on beach day. That's the difference.
Thanks.
Doesn't mean you suck. It just means I want you to get eaten by a shark. Schlong, a couple weeks ago you sent the notes, or Kate sent the notes to us, and the times were shorter. Are you happy that they're finally getting back on the road and hopefully we can see Dark Elevation and Dark kind of fall back into like an hour for Dark Elevation and an hour for Dark?
So two things here. One, I will eventually get your email addresses from Kate. She just has to actually send me the email. Two,
I did today after I accidentally forwarded it to Matt and Aunt again.
I still don't have it, so no.
It's in my send. I checked.
And two, yes, absolutely. I think an hour is perfect for both of these. If you can get them both down to an hour and a half works if you have a really good like main event that goes long. But I mean, I obviously was watching when they were 2.5 hours each, but an hour makes my night much better.
Actually, I found you waiting for a clip of you waiting for Kate to send the emails today.
I've been waiting for this day for a long, long time.
You sound very angry. You sound very angry, Schlong.
You know what,
Furious.
Matt? I liked you better when you were PCO as a pillow.
Lick, lick, lick my balls!
I also liked it better when Ant was in charge of all the audio. Because he is nice.
But he doesn't have a soundboard, and I dig the soundboard.
I'll tell you the truth. If I could get the setup all the way, I would certainly have a soundboard.
Correct! Ding!
That way when Matt wasn't here, I could just work the soundboard as good as well as he does. And have all my intros and outros set up like Matt does.
I love the package.
God grant me the serenity.
I have a question for Matt.
Oh, yes, sir.
Because you know some guys on the indies that some of us don't. Do you know who Jorah Joel is? Like, has he crossed anything you've watched?
Who?
So, no. Jorah Joel?
Jorah Joel. I don't know who this is. Let me look at
so
it.
You, how would I you spell you that? Haven't.
J.
J-O-R-A. J-O-H-L.
Let's see. Jorah Joel.
He was on Dark last week, and he lost to Matt Hardy, but then Matt Hardy offered him a place to basically be the Hardy Family Office's young boy. You do all their menial tasks and all that. And then there was a follow-up on that this week where Hardy was like, hey, that offer's going to run out. Take it. And I just didn't know if he was if he's actually someone on the indies that I don't know about, or he really is coming out of nowhere.
He's from Boston. Apparently I follow him on Twitter. I don't know much about him though, but he is an impressive looking specimen, dare I say. Well, I'm going to have to do some research on this guy.
Yeah, the story they're running with him, Matt, is that the Hardy Family Office is recruiting him, right? So the story is that he's from, I don't remember if they said Iran or Iraq, but if he doesn't make it here, his visa will be up and he won't be able to stay and live his dream. So Big Money Matt basically offered him a contract with the Hardy Family Office, and he's mulling it over. But this week, Matt Hardy basically said the offer doesn't last forever, so you got to basically make up your mind. So they're running a little storyline with him on Elevation. So don't know where they're going to go from there. But he is, you know, he does have a good look to him. He seemed okay in the ring. You know, we'll see what they wind up doing with him. But it was an interesting story.
I'll have to check it out. I got a lot of catching up to do.
So, Schlong, we're at that time in your segment where we're going to ask you to give us just one match from Elevation and one match from Dark, Unleavened, for your Ribs for Her Pleasure picks of the week.
Whoa.
So from regular Dark, I'm going to have to go with the main event, which we didn't talk about, which was Penta and Eddie versus TH2. TH2, I'm very hit or miss on. I don't always enjoy their matches, but this was a really good match. And it was, I mean, we saw tonight how good Penta and Eddie could be. So, of course, they're going to be good. So that was definitely, without question, the best match on Elevation. Mm-hmm. On regular Dark, so my heart wants to say the Wingman match, but realistically, it was Private Party and Jack Evans versus the Dark Order of Evil Uno, Stu Grayson, and Colt Cabana. Those three from the Dark Order are just so good, and Private Party is so good that they put on a great match.
Oh, yeah. Both my boyfriends in the top picks. Oh, yeah.
Got a lot of boyfriends, Kate.
Just Colt and Eddie.
And Sean Ross Sapp and Dave
God,
Meltzer.
And
JF.
My best friend.
And JF. Mike CM Johnson. Punk. CM Punk.
No, he's just my wrestling crush from like Mount Rushmore.
JD Drake,
obviously.
Pretty Peter Avalon.
I mean, if you're just gonna bring up the hottest guys on the roster, like that's purely sexual. It's not like my boyfriend.
Kate, you only have so many holes though. Come on, slow down. There's a lot of
Oh my god.
There's a lot of guys you're talking about.
First of all, not all at once.
Oh, what about a new FMK, okay? Pretty Peter Avalon, JD Drake and Eddie Kingston.
Well, since I'm a bear, I would fuck JD Drake. I would marry.
No, you'd want to fuck a twink.
No, I would marry.
But
you'd need a cub.
Hey,
anyway, go ahead. Go ahead. Fine.
This wasn't. You didn't ask this question to yourself. You asked it to me.
I asked it to Kate. But
I would
that's
marry
okay.
Eddie Kingston because Eddie Kingston would kill. He would just kill people. Oh, my wife is upset about this. It's just men. Wrestling men. What? What's wrong? She's not happy with me. Was that too loud? No, she's like, she didn't even come. She was at the top of the stairs. She looked at me like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And then she walked away.
Seems like a common occurrence in your house.
So she's definitely got a sock full of quarters, and she's going to
You're
going to
kill Peter Avalon?
Yes.
So, Kate, what about you?
Oh, this was the Kate. My bad.
This is why we do a four-hour show.
This is so difficult. I mean, you have to marry Eddie Kingston because, like, that dude's going to fucking throw fists for you. Oh, my God. I can't. I have to kill either Peter Avalon or JD Drake.
This isn't like a real. You don't really have to kill them.
You know how seriously I take hypotheticals. Like, so seriously. I can't play this game with married dudes. I can't play it with like gay dudes. I can't do it. Okay, I'm going to marry Pretty Peter and I'm going to kill JD Drake, even though that breaks my heart.
You're marrying Eddie,
oh,
so.
No. I'm going to fuck Peter There's a sentence I never thought I would say. And I'm going to marry Eddie Kingston and I'm going to kill JD Drake. I'm sorry, JD Drake. I love you.
I'm going to find time to isolate that.
Please.
And if you're out there listening to this, you should certainly like reach out to Pretty Peter Avalon and let him know that Kate from the Mark Order Podcast, social handles are at Mark Order Pod, wants to fuck him. Yes, you do. I think we should hashtag it Kate loves PPA all day.
I do love him.
And we should let him know that Kate really wants to fuck him. So,
see, I think it should be just hashtag Kate loves PP, but that's just me.
Oh, what, you think you're some sort of schlong expert now just because you got the segment, pal?
Well,
I also love that we had a very active Facebook chat and it went dead somewhere around me saying I'm going to fuck Peter Avalon.
People are just in disbelief.
And we know she won't use a condom.
No.
They're jealous of me.
Little pee-pees running around.
For me, but like of me.
Well, Schlong, this was another successful semi-derailed version of a little tip of the Schlong.
This has been a little tip of the Schlong. Don't forget, it's just the tip.
So long, Ryan. It's been a pleasure. Godspeed.
We have fun. We have fun here at the Mark Order.
We have so much fun, but we have to take a little break before we come back and talk about Dynamite and everything that happened tonight and everything that happened over the last week.
Who Ant is going to fuck, marry, and kill? So many questions. So many answers.
So many questions. So many answers yet to come. So we're going to take a little commercial break and hear from some of the other shows here on the Shining Wizards Network that we are part of. A lot of good stuff. So we'll be back in a few minutes. Please support everybody else on this network. We'll be back.
Everyone knows a lot of things can change in the span of 10 years. But when it comes to professional wrestling podcasting, one thing is still guaranteed. The Shining Wizards is the only place to get all the latest wrestling news, interviews with the greatest guests, and of course, tons of laughs in discussing the world of wrestling. The show is still available on Monday nights at 7 p.m. East on rantemradio.com and Rant Entertainment Media on the TuneIn app. And it's still available on all podcasting platforms. To check us out, head over to ShiningWizards.com, where it's still wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Because of the obvious threat to untold numbers of citizens, and because of the crisis which is even now developing, this radio station will remain on the air day and night. This station and hundreds of other radio and TV stations throughout this part of the country are pooling their resources through an emergency network hookup to keep you informed of all developments.
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure every Friday to check out Radioactive Metal. Radioactive Metal is one of the longest-running podcasts on the interweb, and every week we bring you a fist full of metal, including interviews with all your favorite artists, discuss all the metal news, and feature the best tunes on the air today. So grab a Lemmy, join your cool Uncle Snowy, and co-host Aaron in the pit.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese man of war Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
Are you tired of being told what to think and believe by Hollywood elites and politicians who just don't care about you?
Tired of not getting the truth when you watch the news?
Tired of trying to figure out what pronoun to use?
Tired of mob mentality when all you want to do is think for yourself and make up your own mind?
That's where we come in. This is Justin.
And Vince.
Your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown.
We are a weekly anti-PC podcast bringing you entertainment and current event news without any spin.
If you want to truly stay informed on what's going on in the world, then give us a listen every Sunday, anywhere you get podcasts, at least till Zuckerberg and Twitter Jack deplatform us.
And as always, we're proud members of the Shining Wizards Network.
Tired of the PC police telling you what you can and cannot say? Want a show that travels back to the 80s and 90s, where the badass hosts have beaten down cancel culture on three separate occasions and carried on to gloat about it? Since 2013, The Midnight Journey is that show. Travel back to the malls and arcades, pop in your VHS, and join us where the 80s and 90s return from the dead. Conan, tell them where to find us.
WLWstudios.com, home of the Midnight Jury podcast, hosted by Midnight Mike and Calvin Brody.
Also available on all major podcast platforms via the Shining Wizards Network, and join in the conversation on Twitter at Midnight Jury.
What's up, wrestling fans? You want something awesome? Check out Wrestling Night in Canada here on the Shining Wizards Network. We're three Canadian metalheads uniting for the love of pro wrestling. Every episode we go over all the latest news and special events with the odd unique interview as well. So grab a cold one and check out Wrestling Night in Canada, eh?
Hey, and we are back from our commercial break. If you're out there in listening land, you're enjoying what you're listening, at Mark Order Pod on all social media. Be sure to follow. Tell your friends. We're super interactive on Twitter. We are working on our Facebook. I know Facebook's kind of like, I don't know, I feel like only old people use Facebook. Like, we have one for the Monday Night Show, and I fucking hate using it. Like, I hate posting on it. It doesn't get, like, it just doesn't get enough interaction. But if you follow, you can at least watch us Wednesday nights on Facebook. So, again, Mark Order Pod, Facebook.com, Mark Order Pod, and then join the MarkOrder.com. We also have a TikTok, which is something Anthony is really good at. So check that out. Mark Order Pod, and tell your friends, you know, if you like AEW, you like wrestling, you like a bunch of jackwagons being jackwagons, and a lot of infighting, tune in, because we're
boner
having a good
talk?
Time.
You guys like boner talk?
Yeah, you want to know who Kate wants to bang next week? Tune in.
So let's not, like, make that, like, a habit of people tuning in for that.
Well,
let's
we
not,
are
like, make any promises.
And we are going to on the Facebook, we're going to put some events, you know, like where we're going to be, you know, what shows we're checking out, so that if people are in the area, they can meet up with us. We can tell you that the Mark Order podcast will be at Ring of Honor's Best in the World pay-per-view in Baltimore coming in like a week and a half at this point. We are so pumped up to be going back to our first live wrestling show in well over a year. So this is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be checking out the Baltimore Orioles game. We're going to hit the pay-per-view. We're hitting up Jimmy's Famous Seafood. And God knows what else we'll be getting into down in Baltimore.
And it's not like an anniversary per se, but the first live wrestling show we all intentionally went to together was an ROH show. So it feels like back in the saddle. Starsky and Hutch. And Hutch number two.
That's right. And we're also, we should also mention that, you know, we're local to New Jersey. Ring of Honor, AEW is headed to New Jersey and New York later in the year in September. And we're hopefully going to be at both of those shows. We know for sure we're going to be at the Newark, New Jersey show. So we'll have to figure out if we want to plan some sort of get together before that show, somewhere in the area of Prudential Center. But we're also trying to get, whenever the tickets go on sale, we're going to try to get in the house for the Arthur Ashe Stadium, Grand Slam, Dynamite show. So we're super excited for what's coming, and AEW is just fucking really lining up some great shows for getting back out on the road. Next week's show looks like it's going to be ridiculous, but we got to talk about all the stuff this week. So first, before we get into it, there were rankings today, and they do matter now because the show's actually on Wednesday night, so these things do kind of makes sense now. So really quick, running through this, Matt, you missed it while you were out on sabbatical, but Kate tried to rap again and it did not go well. She was hoping, I'm gonna give this up, she was hoping that her rapping so poorly would make you want to rap again, to which I told her that's foolish.
Wow.
Yeah.
Never gonna rap again.
What a cockamamie plan that was. By the way, speaking of Careless Whisper, I found another song that I possibly want to do another Tip of the Schlong intro for. So
yeah, you always want a little introduction to the tip of that schlong, don't you?
That's
right. Yeah, you do. The people at home, they want to be introduced to a tip of the schlong. God, it just gets creepier. It gets creepier the more I say it.
Seriously, stop saying it.
Kate.
I'll stop saying it if Matt raps.
Kate, that's what I want you to do. All right? Use your iPhone, put the recorder on, and just like call Trevor in one night and be like, Trevor, just the tip of the schlong. And I want to hear his react. Like, does he really? Yeah, babe, whatever. I don't know how Trevor talks because I've never met him, because I think he's a figment of your imagination.
Not
but,
like that.
No, he's fake. I just want to, you know, get a good chuckle.
I should record him saying it.
Who do you want me to rap?
No, you don't have to rap.
Yes,
the ranking.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. It's required by the law of the state of New Jersey that you rap the rankings, because I tried. I tried so hard.
Can I just, why are we continuing to do this?
Thank God so far.
We don't have to. You just blow through them real fast.
By the way, I don't.
Oh, I can mute her. Right?
Yeah, please mute her. Jesus Christ.
Sorry.
By the way, I don't know why her singing Linkin Park made me think of this.
Did you want to kill yourself?
Well, after that, yes. But Matt, do you know that Limp Bizkit is playing New Jersey in August?
I have it on good authority that if it's not a Wednesday night or a Friday night, Sonny Kiss will 100% be there.
Oh, it's a Friday night.
Is that one right? Because Sonny Kiss loves Limp Bizkit. Loves Limp Bizkit.
You know what else Sonny Kiss loves? Told me. When you rap rankings.
All right, that's not happening. So the rankings.
But it's Matt's decision, not yours.
I'm making the decision to keep us moving forward and on schedule.
I'm so mad at
I wish I had mute power. Thank you, Matt. I appreciate you. Thank you. So, so for the men's rankings, we know who our champions are: Kenny Omega and Miro. So, number one, Hangman Adam Page. Number two, Orange Cassidy. Number three, Darby Allin. Four, Jungle Boy. And number five, it's Matt Sydal. Matt Sydal comes into the rankings. That's right.
Third eye.
So, so because of Jungle Boy's loss, everybody kind of shifts up and Matt Sydal jumps in. So we'll see what happens with Hangman Adam Page.
I'll remember none of this because nobody's rapping it.
What is, I mean, you know, I already have to fight one of us, Kate. I don't need to fight two of you.
One of us.
Oh, if I marry Eddie Kingston, that's who you're going to be fighting, brother.
Thank you, Matt. So the women's rankings, you know what? I'll say this, Matt. I just love the fact that I don't even have to say anything. I don't have to type anything to you. I can just kind of give a look and you know what I'm thinking. Please just mute Kate.
She's muted. You're good.
I know. So for the women, we know Britt Baker is our champion. Number one contender in the rankings is Nyla Rose, followed by Tay Conti, Thunder Rosa, Chris Statlander, and somehow Hikaru Shida.
She's a former world champion. That's how.
I guess so. She's 6-1.
Matt, stop interrupting. We have to stay on track.
And for the tag teams, the Young Bucks are still our champions. Our number one ranked contenders are the Varsity Blondes, followed by the Acclaimed, FTR, Private Party, and Santana and Ortiz. So no changes from the tag division either. The biggest changes are coming in the men's division, just to keep you honest on where we are with everything. So, guys, it's Wednesday night, and Dynamite was actually live tonight. How exciting. It's been like a month of no Dynamite on Wednesday nights.
Almost as exciting as the rankings.
Man, this is like Matt shit talking us on our own on our own Facebook. Why?
No, I would never do that to you.
Oh my goodness.
I would do that to the rankings.
Oh, the Facebook chat. It's amazing Kate wants people to rap it since she doesn't rap it.
Who was that? You got
Those puns are hilarious, but when I make a pun, you guys shit all.
It was Brendan Hanley.
Brendan. That's fucking brilliant.
I thought it was Brendan.
Nope, it's Brendan.
What happened to not using shoot last names?
Well, I mean, it's in the chat. Are we not giving people's last names out? Did I not get that memo?
You're a chat.
Did you send it to the right email?
I said it to gofuckyourself@gmail.com.
I'll tell you what, it was nice to sit down and watch Dynamite on a Wednesday night. Even though I missed like the first hour, it was cool. I enjoyed it because I haven't had that luxury in the last couple of weeks to really catch any Dynamite. So I enjoyed this very much.
Yeah, it definitely was something missing in the middle of the week to kind of break up the week. So I loved it being back. We had Chris Jericho on commentary for the show tonight. So he did come out and make his entrance when the show started to join the team. And then we get into Eddie Kingston and Penta El Cerro Mierdo versus the Young Bucks. And, you know, I honestly thought there were going to be way more shenanigans going on during this match, but we actually didn't really get too many shenanigans until we got close to the end of this match with, you know, Brandon Cutler getting involved and the Good Brothers getting involved, but somehow Eddie Kingston and Penta are able to overcome it all. And they win by pinfall with the lateral press from Penta on Matt Jackson. And they become the number one contenders to the AEW World Tag Team Championship. So that was the stip to this match. You win, you get a shot. So they're going to get their shot at the champs again. And they overcame the odds. Brandon Cutler tried to use the freeze spray, did not work. The Good Brothers tried to get involved, did not work. And Eddie Kingston and Penta were over so hard with this live crowd. Kate, you have an Eddie Kingston boner, and I will now allow you to speak if you would like to speak about this match.
Oh, thank you for the privilege of letting me speak on a podcast I'm on. I love Eddie. I also just really liked the way this whole match was constructed. Like, I feel like Eddie having so much experience, it's just like you could just plug him into anything and he makes it super exciting. He can work with so many different ring styles, but it's all those little things he does. I mentioned in the Discord, he was in a submission hold and he was like tapping, but not tapping out, tapping, just like tapping a little bit on the guy's hand. Like, it's those little things that create suspense, like, oh my God, is he gonna tap out? And just all around. Also, everybody complaining about the Joker gear on Penta, that he's overwearing it. It's fucking awesome. So relax out there. But they're so good at starting off the night with hot tag matches. The booking here was a surprise to me and one that I actually liked. I don't like my champions getting pinned that often, but they do it so rarely that when that does happen, it has a really big impact, right? So I really liked them going over here for the number one contendership. And Eddie Kingston is perfect and can do no wrong. And that is why he is my continual husband in Fuck, Marry, Kill. Back to you.
Matt, I know you didn't see this match, but just based on kind of what we discussed and perhaps some of the things you may have read, any comments here? Do you have a problem with these guys being number one contenders, even though they were just thrown together?
I don't. Well, that seems to be the case with Eddie Kingston. It's let's find Eddie Kingston a tag team partner because they don't have anything to do with him in this singles run. Because it was first, was in this, the whatever this nonsense was with Pentagon and Phoenix and the Butcher and the Blade. They were the family or whatever. And then it was John Moxley as his tag team partner. And now he's back with Pentagon. And what happened to Death Triangle? Did I miss something the last couple weeks? Them winning and becoming number one contenders makes sense. I just hope this is not something that AEW leans on constantly to tell stories. Every once in a while it works, but if it turns into, you know, every couple of weeks your champion's getting beat in the middle of the ring and then that person who beat them becomes the number one contender, it's kind of like it takes away from it being a special moment.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And I guess just maybe to catch you up a little bit, Matt, Phoenix is out on injury. So Phoenix had gotten injured, and I'm not sure where Pac is. Pac might have some sort of lingering injury as well. So that might be why they're kind of throwing them together here, but they really work well together. And I also think now that you've got a full kind of live crowd, and Penta has always kind of been over with the live crowd, now we see that Eddie's super over. Like, I don't necessarily mind this. I know Kate doesn't either.
I don't. It's the thing with Eddie too, hearing how over he is with the crowd, it continues to blow my mind that, like, he was not an original AEW signing and not even within the first few months of the company starting. He feels so integral to what they do. I think because they've kept him in the tag title picture, his feud with Kenny Omega, him coming out and covering Mox when the ring didn't explode. Like, he's always sniffing around some sort of title picture, which I think is really smart because he makes everything feel so important. But that it just blows my mind that he was, like, not an original guy here. It's pretty impressive how over he is and how important he feels to the product.
Well, we'll see what happens. They're the number one contenders. I don't think they're going to take the belts off the Bucks, but you never know. They could swerve us.
May I ask you a question? With sure. That being said, who would you like to see take the titles off the Bucks?
Man, that's tough only because there are a lot of, like, set teams that they have that I would like to see get the belts off the Bucks. I don't think it necessarily needs to be FTR, although I think they could get another run at it, you know, against the Bucks and have, you know, kind of another classic match. I'd be happy with Evil Uno and Stu Grayson. I love the way they work. I think they should deserve to get the titles. Maybe the best way to kind of get them pushed up a little bit is to beat the Bucks. I also really want to see Santana and Ortiz with the belts at some point. So
you know, do they get them off the Bucks and then FTR goes after them and we have a pinnacle and inner circle thing? You know, who knows? They can go a thousand different ways. But I think for me, any of those three teams, I'd be so happy getting the belts off the Bucks.
Kate, do you concur? Is there another tag team you would like to see win the tag titles, take them off the Bucks?
It just needs to be Santana and Ortiz, I feel like. Or like somebody, you know what, if it was Eddie and Penta and it transitions to Santana and Ortiz, I'm fine with that too. I think the next title run needs to be Santana and Ortiz title run. Someone else wants to be transitional, that's totally cool, but there's a pre-existing story there, right, with the Young Bucks where they faced them a couple times before, they fell short, now they're baby faces, now the Jacksons are heels, like, let's see what that looks like. So my vote is, and I don't really want it to drag out that much longer, but I guess July is around the fucking corner at this point. Like, Santana and Ortiz at Arthur Ashe Stadium dethroning the Bucks. I don't know if there's a bigger moment that you can script for that.
What about, okay, so I like where your head's at, Kate. Let's do, this is how I would book this. Eddie and Penta beat the Bucks next week. It's the first show on the road. The place goes fucking crazy, right? Couple weeks from then, FTR takes the titles off of them, and then Santana and Ortiz chase them to Arthur Ashe Stadium.
I'm fine with that.
Huge moment
there.
And then you could always, you know, you want to go big at like Revolution, you could do FTR versus the Bucks versus Santana and Ortiz in a three-way dance.
Well, we're gonna get All Out before Arthur Ashe, right? So they'll have to line up some sort of big, you know, you would think they're going to have some sort of big match for All Out. So however we get to All Out, and then there's a title change, and then, you know, I think you have to put them on Santana and Ortiz in Arthur Ashe. I'm with you there. I think that's a good plan. It's just how we get there, because there's the one big pay-per-view right before it. You know what I mean? So the timing could be a little funky, because I think it's like the pay-per-view and then only a couple weeks later we get Arthur Ashe. So, we'll see what happens. They do a good job of having a lot of layers and a lot of stories going on at the same time. So it doesn't necessarily need to be, you know, done poorly. It's just got to be done the right way. Kate is dying to say it, so go ahead, Kate.
No, it's just Matt's back, so it's a lot of spoons in the porridge.
There is. Go. Now, let me ask you, lovely folks, another question here as we go into the next segment here on Dynamite. Because we've seen them be so hit or miss with the rankings, right? Do you think it's odd that they're trying to put over the fact that Jungle Boy is going after his 50th win?
I don't think it's weird, because I think it's like one of your first milestones, I guess, that you'd have as a company, right? So, like, you know, you're the first person to get to 50 wins. I mean, that says something about kind of the consistency they see out of Jungle Boy, well, maybe Jungle Man now. And, you know, I guess how much he's kind of meant to them during this whole stretch run, basically in the pandemic. I mean, I don't think it's weird that they're kind of making a big deal out of it, but they haven't been building this up for weeks. Like, they've really just mentioned it tonight. So I don't necessarily have a problem with it, but, you know, he did just have his big title match. Even though he lost, he looked really good. So I could see that they're kind of hanging this on him.
Do you think that's the way to make him still look strong? That even though he lost to the world champion, he is the first AEW wrestler to achieve the 50 win milestone. And with that, Marco Stunt will powder and clean his ball sack for him after a night with Anna Jay. What? That's what Marco
Stunt. Oh, I didn't realize. I'm sorry. I didn't realize it was you to weigh in.
No.
I guess when balls are mentioned, the girl jumps in.
Well, Rhiannon is right on the office landing doing Rhiannon things, and she only hears my part of the conversation. So just as I finished that, her head just came into the door frame, and she was like, like, what the fuck are you talking about?
She does do the jerk off motion at your figures. So it's not like so far off, but yeah, you know what? If Marco is a ball powdering post sex young boy, you know, whatever keeps him active in AEW, man. I'm all for ball powdering young boy Marco Stunt. But to answer your previous question about the 50 wins, they do seem to, and it's probably really all due to me just bitching about it every week. No, they do seem to be paying more attention to the rankings more now than they ever have, probably since the Lights Out match with Britt and Thunder Rosa. It seemed like the rankings were starting to at least fall into place and make more sense. And they've been referenced a couple times more strategically since then, I would say. So they mentioned it tonight with Hangman Adam Page, we'll get to. So I don't know. That feels more like if the rankings are like a baseball team's record or something, or like if a batter goes 7-for-14 in a stretch, but he hits his 500th home run, they give him the ball back, right? Like those don't seem too closely linked to the point where it bothers me. It does bother me that nobody has rapped about either of them.
In baseball, when you hit 500 home runs, that's you actually achieving that statistic. This is all predetermined.
That's fair, but I'm supposed to be buying into that world, right?
I guess. I don't know.
Guess what, buddy? Baseball is a work.
No other, like, we've seen, like, they did, like, the Goldberg streak and Asuka and all this other, like, this, I don't know. Jungle Boy looked good, and as Anthony said earlier, none of us expected him to beat Kenny Omega, right? So I don't see why we have to try and be like, well, he's the first to get 50 wins. Well, if 35 of them come on dark against Nelly and Trixie and Kate and Anthony and Matt, like, what does it matter?
I don't want to talk about the fact that I got squashed by Jungle Boy on dark, okay? It's fucked up to bring up.
You have to start somewhere before you got to Anna Jay, so.
Well.
I hate you so much, and I'm so glad you're back.
Glad somebody is.
I totally understand what you're saying, Matt. Like, you know, 50 wins is a combination of, you know, dark and elevation and, you know, Dynamite shows and pay-per-views. I get what you're saying, but I think that it all, like, the way that they did this whole thing goes to show how much, I guess, faith they put in him. And for what he means to this company moving forward, you know, the whole segment is Christian basically, you know, telling him like kind of how big this is and how important it is because you're coming off a loss. So I think that it definitely is a statement of the company basically saying, you know, here's the importance we put in you or we see in you and the faith that we're putting in you to kind of carry us, you know, through the future. So, I mean, I get what they're doing. I get what you're saying. It makes sense both ways. Also, I need to, since we're talking about this segment, it was amazing when Luchasaurus rolled in, unfortunately for Matt, with Marco Stunt. Luchasaurus did thank Christian for having Jungle Boys back. And that since dinosaurs are loyal, yes, Matt, I have my guys too. They're downstairs though. That's so pretty.
Matt is holding up his beautiful, stunning Luchasaurus figure.
And my beautiful, stunning wife is just glaring at me.
You are welcome for the segue, my friend.
She's not looking at me in a good way.
So Luchasaurus does tell Christian that dinosaurs are very loyal, so he's got Cage's back now, and Christian does say that, you know, that's helpful because of all the things going on with the Hardy family office. And Christian does admit to being a quarter, I thought he said triceratops, but he might have said something else. And he said he's a quarter dinosaur either way on his mother's side. And him and Luchasaurus basically walk off small talking about their dinosaur lineage. And they do go to break. So I thought that was a pretty funny part of that segment. I don't know. Does anybody have anything else they want to put into this? I think, you know, we kind of discuss what we need to discuss here, but
how does one become part dinosaur?
If it's part of your
genetics.
You know, yeah, genetics.
But what?
Sorry.
He said he was a quarter dinosaur on his mother's side.
I understand. How does that happen?
Well, somebody fucked a dinosaur.
Right. That's, you know, who would, first of all, is that even possible? Do dinosaurs have ding-dongs?
You better talk to...
I mean, yeah. Someone fucked a bat and gave us all COVID, so...
What?
Wasn't that the whole thing?
I think it was Adabat.
I don't know if it was. I need to get like a wireless mic if Rihanna is going to be in within earshot of what's going on, because you can't hear her, but I can, and she's just going, "Why? Why?" while she's playing with a very sharp knife.
Can't you just give her a set of headphones so she can hear the whole conversation?
If I give her a set of headphones, I have to set up a mic for her too, so she can chime in.
I mean,
we should have had her fill in on the days you weren't here. Missed opportunity.
Oh, then I could have been like, she could have been like Robin. Hoo, Robin, tell us how you feel.
I did ask a couple people, Kate, on the nights, like the last two, but was told I'm busy. And I said, well, then I'm never asking you again.
Damn.
You know who you are, but.
Wow. I guess I'm that insufferable. You couldn't handle just being with me. So
no, it was just going to be a run-in. It was just going to be a surprise.
I also would understand if you needed a buffer between me.
Yeah,
and
100%. Anyway,
I tried to get us a run in tonight, but he was busy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was. He would if he was not editing
I
his
saw.
Show. Look and look, man. Anything to get some more eyes on the product.
It. I get it. Don't I respect the hustle, pal.
Don't be fooled by the stupid shit that comes out of my mouth. I kind of have an idea of what I'm doing. I just don't really apply it to this podcast.
Man, I can't wait to see that be true someday.
He's got a lot of spoons in the porridge, whether we know it or
what,
not.
What, Rhiannon? Wife, excuse me. Legal name?
Moving on from the Jungle Boy Christian segment, we go to an in-ring interview. Ethan Page being interviewed by Tony Schiavone. Page says he hasn't been doing enough and his goal isn't to beat Darby Allin, but to exterminate Darby Allin. Nobody's tried to cripple him more than he, and no matter where he throws him, what he does, where he does it, he keeps ticking. So the coffin match is meant to cripple Allin mentally. He's going to beat him in the coffin match, blah, blah, blah. You know how that goes. Then enter Sting. I'm sorry, Matt, who enters?
Sting!
Thank you. Sting wheeling a coffin out to the stage, but Darby Allin is actually in the coffin. Sting takes Scorpio Sky out with the Scorpio Death Drop. Allin basically claws, I think, at like Ethan Page's eyes and his face, you know, with his polished fingernails. And then Ego says that Darby knows that he can't beat him at 100%. So the match next week is now off. And maybe if Darby Allin behaves, he can have the match at Fyter Fest. So, one, are they really pulling this match from next week? And two, if they are pulling it, what is going on? Is it maybe is Ego not 100%? Is Darby not 100%? Maybe they just couldn't figure out a way to pull this off that well in a week for a coffin match. Did seem like a pretty weird thing to do and be like, we're doing it. And they had it all like, you know, they had the graphics and everything worked up and then basically say, we're not doing it. I just thought it was a little odd. Kate, what did you think?
I think it's still happening. I think we're going to get something next week about Darby calling him out and calling him a little bitch and that they're going to still end up doing the match. But, you know, if not, my money would be on Darby not being okay because he's fucking maniac every day of his life. So I wouldn't be surprised if he got injured in some way. But it just felt too like worked for me. Like it felt like too chicken shit heelish of him to do that and for him not to meet some ramifications. Maybe it's getting delayed a week or something, but I definitely think this match is going to happen at some point. Also, a couple things with Ethan Page. One, we did not talk about with Saturday Dynamite, the fact that he had Bear shirt on when he was facing Bear Boulder, Bear Bronson.
Bear,
I don't mean to be Bear racist.
It was Bear Bronson.
Bear Bronson. And that in the middle of the match, he goes, rawr. That was the greatest. Second of all, for the love of God, just let Ethan Page talk and not have some sort of audio issue where an NBA feed is playing. Or a we can't hear you chant breaks out because clearly his mic was down or off. But a lot of people were commenting on the fact that he was saying the word coffin a lot in his promo. And I think he was trying to recover that for the crowd. So just check the audio before Mr. Page goes and delivers a great promo. And Ant has said this before, and I couldn't agree more, that just like, let these guys fight for the rest of their lives. Let this be your Triple H and Shawn Michaels never done with each other feud for as long as you want, because the way Darby bumps for him, their history, their in-ring chemistry, I am all for this. So I'm glad this is continuing, and I think it's worked, this it's not happening business.
Matt, are you excited for a coffin match that doesn't include an Undertaker?
Yes, because if you are familiar with Darby and Ethan Page's work from Evolve, where they did like a body bag match, where Darby, I think, fractured his forearm when he got put in the body bag and then like thrown into like a pole. These guys are really good. They work really well with each other. I don't think anyone's hurt. I just think next week. So I think this is something where Ethan Page does the chicken shit heel stuff, and he tries to run and run and run, and he's going to run out of places to hide before he's forced into having this match. So I think this is a marquee match, and I think maybe they push it to Fyter Fest. Either one of the nights, one or two. Come on, Nelly.
Yeah, oh yeah. I don't think that they're not going to do this match. I just I thought it was weird that like last week they're like, it's happening at Road Rager, and now this week they're like, it is not happening at Road Rager. So it just seemed a little odd, but they're gonna have this match and it'll be great. So looking forward to it. Moving on, we have Jack Evans versus Jungle Man Jack Perry. So let's just basically cut to the end of this match. Jungle Boy wins with the snare trap submission. And then post-match, Christian Cage and the rest of Jurassic Express come down to the ring, and they wind up actually brawling with the Hardy family office. Cage is able to choke Matt Hardy with his own jacket. Jack Evans makes the save. And then Hardy gets away, but Christian does beat Jack Evans down. And so this whole thing between Matt Hardy and Christian Cage is still very much alive and well. So two things here. Kate, I'm going to go to you because I'm not sure if Matt was actually able to catch this yet, because it was in the first half of the show. So, Kate, what did you think of the match and the post-match stuff with Christian and Matt Hardy? Like, are we just... I'm at the point now where I'm just like, if we're going to do Matt Hardy and Christian, let's just do it. Like, I don't want this to drag out. So what are your thoughts?
So, okay. You know how I laugh every time you call Dark Elevation and regular Dark Unleavened? Jungle Man is going to be the new Dark Unleavened for me. I can feel it already, because anytime someone says Jungle Man, it makes me laugh. I really liked the match. I am kind of over the gang wars stuff a little bit, and the general shoving that shit down my throat. They're so good at assuming I'm smart in AEW, and I love that about them. But sometimes, like, you can just leave the handwriting on the wall. Like, I know that Matt Hardy and Christian are gonna fight. I don't need to see them all every week. Same with the Inner Circle and the Pinnacle. Today, we'll get into the main event too, but like last week, I was like, oh my god, I know you guys hate each other. Like, we can go a week without seeing that. And I just feel like sometimes I love stables, but like, you can just let the individual feuds play out. Like, it's gonna be fine. We didn't forget Matt Hardy existed. And we didn't forget that him and Christian are not friends. So, and we know where it's going. So like, just let things organically unfold. I feel like sometimes they are forcing it with the Jets and the Sharks stuff every week. Like, just let it go. But I thought the match itself was good. I really enjoy the relationship with Christian and Jungle Boy, even though we see it a lot. And I have my complaints about that a little bit. Like, I feel like Christian has just so quickly slid into the role that he was meant to play in this company and does a really good job of it. And I really, really like him as a face, honestly. Like, I really like this outwork everyone gimmick. Like, it just feels very natural. And ever since he's come in, he's just been great without being like, I'm here to steal the show because I was the big announcement. Like, just really fit into the programming well. So those are my thoughts about the Jungle Man.
That's right. Matt Hardy, Christian Cage, are we ready to get this over with?
Are we ready to get this over with? I don't know if we're ready. I think it would be better if Christian Cage and Matt Hardy did not, like, if Christian Cage didn't hit Matt Hardy with that move tonight, like, if they don't touch, I think you got slow burn. I understand why he is on TV every week in this angle, because he was the big announcement, and it's the same reason why Sting was on TV every week with the Darby Allin and Team Taz stuff. You're hoping people are, you know, tuning in to see Christian, and, you know, it's bonus that he's in there with Matt Hardy, that's someone you're familiar with. Obviously, both of their legacies are based around TLC matches. Obviously, there's more to their careers, but that's what a lot of casual wrestling fans are familiar with, or people from the Attitude Era that maybe, you know, saw AEW commercial during the basketball game, and they decide, oh, we're going to tune in because Christian and Matt Hardy are here. It's also episodic TV, and to Kate's point, it doesn't have to be every week. It should be something that's organic, but I think we get our live crowds at Daily Place, and they're going to, you know, get super psyched to see Christian and Matt Hardy. But it's going to, you know, this, we're going to see this for the next couple of weeks until we get to All Out. I mean, it's going to be Christian and Matt Hardy one-on-one for somebody's wages.
Yeah, for their third quarter earnings or something like that. So we'll see what happens. We move into MJF cutting a promo in a backstage shot. MJF's talking about how he's dethroned Chris Jericho as the king of AEW, and he wonders why he hasn't thrown in the towel and quit, you know, when you've been bested, but he's turned AEW into his own perverted Looney Tunes. And next week, MJF is going to reveal stipulations for one last match against Chris Jericho. All he requests is that Jericho makes it through stipulations, which he won't. Once MJF beats Jericho, that Jericho leaves him alone. And then MJF moves on to Sammy Guevara, which he's got the main event match against him tonight. The fans want to see the match because they want to know who's the future of AEW. And MJF says that after the match, they're going to say it's Sammy's the future because MJF is the now. And Jericho then responds on commentary, says he's going to accept any stipulation short of getting run over by a truck, and we go to a break. So, Kate, we're going to get one last shot, Jericho and MJF. Are we excited for this? I think we all think this has to kind of be that blow off to these two groups kind of going at each other in some fashion. So are we excited for that? And also, what do you have any idea what these stipulations can be? Any thoughts?
Man, so I'll just start by saying it's real fun to watch MJF just grow into one of the best talkers this business is ever going to see. Like, most weeks. Sometimes it's a little long. I complain about him yelling, but dear God, like, promos like this are so good. And I think he's better with the pre-taped ones, and I hope the live ones come along. But just like everything he said felt true. Like, it does feel like the Looney Tunes squad with the inner circle a little bit. I've been saying that for a while, that it feels like they're not the cool ones and they're the faces. That's a problem. I just really loved this promo from him. I have no idea what the fuck the stipulations are going to be. I'm excited that the third one will be in the books. I'm sure it'll be a really good match. But at this point, I feel like the inner circle is starting to hold back Sammy Guevara and LAX. I still call them LAX. Wow. Caught myself. That sounded like I still call them LAX. That's not what I meant. I mean, I always go to call them LAX. I don't think I'm too cool to call them Santana and Ortiz because I hate that shit. I call them by their shoot names. I feel like the inner circle's holding them back at this point, and that they can go on to do so much more. on their own. Like, I think Sammy's lined up for a TNT title shot at some point. I've said a million times Santana and Ortiz should be holding the tag titles. Eggers, whatever. Jericho doesn't need anything. So I don't know what the stipulations are going to be. I'm excited for the match to happen as much as I am for the build to what the match is actually going to be. I just am ready for this angle to be in the book. So once I find out more, I'll be able to tell you if I'm excited for the actual match itself. But I loved this from MJF.
Matt, I don't know where you came in. Did you get to see this promo?
I did not. I came in at Miro and Pillman Jr., just okay. So you okay. know. But I can't be mad. If we're going to get Jericho, MJF one last time, I'm okay with that. What do you make of face? Hold on. Kate's making like fucking weird faces. What's your problem?
No, Joe in the Facebook chat just cracked me up. Back to your dinosaur references. He was like, well, when a dinosaur and a person really love each other and they don't rap it. And I just saw that comment and it made me laugh really hard.
Asian Joe is a funny feller.
Asian Joe is a funny feller.
Yes, but back to this. I mean, I think we were all kind of in, like, at some point this Inner Circle versus Pinnacle thing kind of splinters off into their own individual feuds. We know Hager's going to fight Fedor in Bellator, so he's going to be off of AEW while he goes and trains for that fight. Conan is with Santana and Ortiz. He's shown up, so that's another wrinkle in the story. I'm not against it. It'll be interesting to see what the stip is. But I'm kind of looking forward to another MJF Jericho match because I think they work well together.
Yeah, I think that's the thing I'm most interested in seeing are what these stipulations are since, they made such a big deal out of it. But when we get back from the break, Andrade El Idolo is being interviewed. And he says that he had a great announcement last week on Saturday, but Matt Sydal, whose name he really can't remember, interrupted him, and he wants to make an example of him in Miami at Road Rager. Road Rager in Miami, we're going to get Andrade making his AEW in-ring debut against Matt Sydal. Quite frankly, I think that has potential to be a really, really good match. I think I've been pretty transparent in saying that when Sydal came in, I wasn't a huge fan. Like, I didn't see what the big deal was. I understood his experience on TV and with a large company and kind of that veteran quote unquote presence in the locker room could do for them. But boy, he's really turned me on to what he can do in the ring because he's don't make eyes at me, Kate.
You heard it here first, folks. And gets turned on by Matt Sydal.
Well, I mean, he just he has shown me that he is way better in the ring than I thought he was after his pretty bad debut where he slipped off the top rope. So I'm looking forward to this match next week. I think we're all interested in seeing as well what the big announcement was. So we still don't really know when that's coming or what that's going to be. There's a lot of theories. He's kind of adding fuel to the fire. I think that it's going to be Thea Trinidad. And we've kind of said the same thing here. But either way, it's a pretty good announcement for the match next week. Are we good on this? Anybody want to make any comments on Andrade? Except for the fact, actually, maybe. Interesting to see that he can cut a pretty good promo, even though he doesn't speak perfectly clear English. And he does speak Spanglish, kind of back and forth throughout his promos. Pretty effective still.
Yeah, I just want to piggyback off of that and say congratulations to whatever producer in AEW was like, hey, how about subtitles? And we let the emotion come across in the person's native language. Good call. Also, while I was watching this, I was like, oh, he didn't actually make the announcement. I bet Thea's going to come out for Vicky Guerrero. So at the time of watching this, I was very excited.
Okay, we'll hold on to that as we move forward. So after this segment, we do get Tony Schiavone in the ring interviewing Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega says that he stays motivated and gets up out of bed every day because upon further reflection, he beat not only the toughest guy and the greatest high flyer and the most charismatic act. He also defeated the most promising up-and-coming star in AEW. Clearly, he's talking about Jungle Man Jack Perry. Omega says that he's going to go around the world and beat some dudes, but his work in AEW is, you know, is kind of being put on hold. So we'll see you when he sees you. But then Evil Uno and the Dark Order enter the picture. Evil Uno asks if he just said he has no challengers. Kenny confirms that. And Evil Uno says he thinks differently. Now, Kenny is thinking that a guy like Alan Angels, you know, could face him or somebody else in the Dark Order. But Uno admits he's right. None of the Dark Order have the wins to justify the title match, but there is someone who does. Someone that they've befriended and that Omega used to know very well and actually was friends with. The number one ranked competitor in AEW, that's Hangman Adam Page. So Kenny said, Kenny says that if he's talking about who he thinks he is, he wouldn't appreciate Uno speaking on his behalf. And if he's talking about that person, he doesn't think he has the guts to face Kenny Omega. And if he's talking about that person doesn't himself think that he has the right to hold that title up and call himself champion. So unless Uno has something else to say, some trick up his sleeve, this is where Kenny bids everybody adieu, goodbye, and goodnight. Bang. And we go to break. So clearly the rankings are coming into play again here, folks. I think this is leading up to what we all basically think, you know, is going to happen. And we're going to get Hangman Adam Page against Kenny Omega, probably it all out, you know, and take the belt off him. I really like this interview segment, and I like the fact that it was a Dark Order. And I should mention that Hangman Adam Page wasn't out there with them. It was just the Dark Order on his behalf. So, Kate, what did you think of this segment?
So he, first of all, Kenny Omega said that Angels wouldn't last 2 minutes with him, which I loved because it seemed like a pretty direct callback to when people thought he got way too much offense in against him and Kenny should have squashed him. Like, that was just a really fun, if that was as intentional as I and some other people are reading into it. Super, super fun on that. I really loved this for a lot of reasons. I love where Omega went with it because he's really started to balance sincerity with his comedy through this. Like, I think the past few weeks, especially the lead up with Jungle Boy, he's really, really grown into that piece of it. I also hope this leads to him picking off everybody of the Dark Order going up to Adam Page. It seems like that's where that headed. Oh my God, what a wonderful story that would be if I'm getting to see Kenny Omega beat John Silver, who's fighting for his friend, and Kenny Omega's telling him he's a dipshit because there's not even in his stable technically. Like, oh my God, let that be the storytelling. Adam Page doesn't have to be in the building for half of this angle if he doesn't want to be. Like, I think that is just pure gold. It's wrestling friendship, which is the most beautiful thing of all. If that's where this is going to go, I'm all for it. And much like you, Ant, I really loved the segment in its entirety. I thought it was great.
All right, we're going to move past this. So we're, you know, hopefully we'll hear something from Hangman Adam Page at some point, but moving past this, we get Brian Pillman versus Miro. Before Brian Pillman Jr. does get to the match, they do show kind of an interview promo he did earlier in the day. We don't have to really go through that, but he basically calls Miro a bully and a big Bulgarian bitch. And then we get into the match. It is worth mentioning that Miro is no longer using the best man music or the best man graphics on his entrance video. He's using some sort of weird music. They are making reference to all his kind of Messiah and God comments. So I don't know if that's the angle he's going with, is like the Messiah of wrestling.
He's doing this, the Redeemer thing. That seems to be the thing that people have picked up on, which is kind of similar, but
yeah,
I think that's like the Redeemer Miro is what this chapter is kind of being branded as.
Yeah. And I don't necessarily have a problem with that. I didn't love his new music. It just didn't seem to fit for me. It looks like there are mixed emotions out there. Some people really love it. I just didn't really see it. Anyway, we get into the match, cutting to the end here. Miro wins by referee stoppage. he does have the body scissor sleeper hold that that game over submission where he actually put out Brian Pillman Jr. So Pillman Jr. did not tap. He was passed out and they called the match. But Brian Pillman did put up a pretty good fight. So it was not a squash match. We didn't think Miro was going to lose his title, so it went that way. But I thought it was a pretty fun match. And this is where Matt came in. So I'd actually like to get Matt's take first. What did you think about this, Matt?
I actually really liked this match. I thought it was a fun match. It was a dominant victory for Miro. Pillman got a little bit of offense in, but at the end of the day, this is Miro's, you know, TNT championship run, and he looked great, and I enjoyed it. To piggyback on Kate's, like, redeemer thing, like, even after the match, as they were trying to cut away, you could see him, like, clutching the title and looking up to the sky, so I don't know if that's, like, if that's where we're going, but I wouldn't be against it. I didn't like the video game thing. Like, I get that, so he does a bunch of stuff on Twitch and whatnot, but, you know, this is a little... It's a little more my speed.
Yeah, it's not a bad... It's not a bad gimmick. I want to be clear about that. I like this Redeemer Miro. I just didn't love his entrance music. I just didn't think it did anything for me. Kate, what did you think of the match?
Well, you know, if you got a hot, flexible wife, I'm sure you'd be looking to the heavens, too. Glad Rihanna can't hear that part. just puts Matt in a weird spot no matter what he does. I really liked this match. It went the way we thought it was going to go. It went the way it should go. Pillman looked strong enough to get his offense in. I actually really liked the promo that they cut before this for him. I'm continually impressed by how much he does not try to play parrot of his dad, especially when you look that much like your dad. I'm sure the temptation is there, but he's definitely his own guy. I really like it. And, Good stuff here. This is the Miro I think everybody's wanted to see ever since he said that thing about having homes all over the world and AEW being where he goes to murder people. I feel like, yes, that was the moment. This is the Miro that we're looking for. With you, wasn't big on the music. Love the Redeemer Miro gimmick and idea, though. And just, man, again, seasoned veterans. Same with Christian. All those little details. Him looking to the sky. Him looking at -1 a couple weeks ago and shoving it in his face. Like, I love that. That's the magic for me. So really good match. Accomplished exactly what it needed to do. Brian Pillman Jr. is going to be a single star someday. I have no doubt in my mind that this was a nice little appetizer of that. Great hair, too. Killing it on the hair.
A+ on the hair. So after this, we do go backstage where Marvez is with the Dark Order. So I'm surprised again that he was not at Mommy Milkers or the Nip Factory. But he is backstage with the Dark Order, and Adam Page storms in and he's basically yelling at the Dark Order for making stupid challenges. But Colt Cabana basically tells him that he's just afraid of failure and he needs to know he can do this. They all, you know, like everybody in the Dark Order basically gives him a pep talk and tell him, Hangman Adam Page, that is, that they believe in him. And basically they just are really positive around him. And then we go to break. So again, we're basically seeing this story of the Dark Order being there for Adam Page, even though Adam Page is not necessarily part of that group. And they're supporting him, kind of pushing him forward. So, you know, what do we think about this? I think this is the way we kind of thought this was going to go. And now we're finally seeing it where he's going to take the support and maybe see that he's finally got a group of people he can rely on. So, Kate, thoughts on this?
Love it. Love it. I hope this is the direction it stays in. It's what a wonderful story and like relatable. I feel like everyone's had like friendships that they were weary about because they reminded them of past situations or certainly dated people, whatever. Like I love shit like this. This is beautiful. Rock and roll.
Yeah, it's great storytelling, and it'll all come full circle because he was in the Elite, and they were all wrapped up in their own shit, and they left him to his own devices, and he may have had a couple too many cocktails during some big moments where he was just looking for some friends to tell him it's okay, you're going to be okay, we're here for you. Well, that didn't happen, so the Dark Order finally stepping into that role and this coming to fruition is going to be excellent. And I'm looking forward to Hangman Page and Kenny Omega. My only problem with this is hopefully Kenny Omega is still not the Impact World Champion when these two meet. Like this belt, like hopefully if this is at All Out, it's after Slammiversary. He's no longer, because the Impact shit is fucking deader than Kelsey's nuts.
But what if? See, I actually went the other way with that in my head, because I thought, what if Hangman beats him and then we start seeing the like unraveling of Kenny Omega and he just loses all of the belts in like a 2 month span or whatever? But like then at least something, even an Impact, is happening storyline wise where it's like, okay, now we have a downward spiral, Kenny, which I think could be very fun.
I feel like
Don Callis all over the place. Like,
I mean, I haven't watched Impact since the fucking pay per view, but it just doesn't seem like it's working.
That's too stalled for you to do that. That makes sense.
Like, just let fucking Sami Callihan beat him at Slammiversary. He goes on his way. Maybe Kenny, or maybe Adam is the last one to beat him, and now he has no belts.
That works too. I can see that.
I don't know. But I'm looking forward to that story finally coming to full circle.
Yeah, they don't even bring out that Impact belt on AEW TV.
So weird.
It wouldn't necessarily make a difference to me. I could see it going either way. So back from commercial, we have backstage shot from Team Taz. Taz is there with Hook and Powerhouse Hobbs. He admits that Taz admits that things are in a little disarray with Ricky Starks and Brian Cage not being there, and that it's been toxic for Team Taz. Hook says he's tired of it, and Hobbs says that someone needs to figure it out. So Taz says that on July 14th, Cage will defend the FTW Championship against the medically cleared Ricky Starks. So this will be, I think, the second FTW title defense in AEW. The BTE belt has been defended more times. So I think we have to recognize Marco Stunt as a champion.
Sure.
I mean, guys, we don't need to dig into this all that deep. But Ricky Starks, Brian Cage, July 14th, I think this is a thumbs up. Yes.
I think the best thing to come out of this is that Ricky Starks is healthy enough to get back in the ring. So that only helps AEW.
Completely, just both of you railroading Hook, just mean mugging like this.
He spoke.
Like his old man did.
He spoke.
He did speak, but like he looked like he was like, I'm gonna smoke cigarettes behind the 7-Eleven. Even though I'm 16 years old, because I'm such a badass and I'm going to beat somebody up. Guys, I can't. I can't with Hook.
That was his dad's gimmick. His dad stood there all the time, arms crossed, duck lips.
God. Yeah, but he didn't look like he was going to the high school dance when he did.
Listen, Taz is a different build. I'll tell you what I want one day. I want to see Ricky Starks tagging up with Hook.
Hook, brother.
That's right. Moving on from this, guys, perhaps my what the fuck moment of the night, Dr. Britt Baker and Rebel versus Nyla Rose and Vicky Guerrero. So, Britt Baker and Rebel win by submission with a lockjaw from Britt Baker on Vicky Guerrero. So post-match, we do get, Nyla Rose laying Britt out, hitting her with the Beast Bomb. But then she is able to get her up again and beast bomb her from the apron to the floor through a table. So Britt is just taking another table spot like she has been and making it look good. My only problem with this, guys, is why did we need this? Like, they already, I guess, had an issue. We know how Nyla Rose felt. Did we really need to see them touch each other or have this match at all? It's an open question. Whoever wants to answer first.
I know how Kate feels about this, so before she goes on a 20-minute diatribe about shit we've constantly talked about for the last year and a half, the best time to turn a heel face is when she is at her height, and her winning the championship makes her a face. So I guess putting her in there with Nyla and having her be her first defense where she beats the bigger Nyla Rose, maybe bring some credibility to Britt or makes Britt More, I really don't know. I did not like this. I didn't like any of this. I know Rebel got hurt at the end of this. She apparently dislocated her kneecap. I don't care. I don't look the. If Nyla Rose was booked better from day one, then maybe I would be a bit invested. But she lost to Rio. She lost to Hikaru Shida. You know, she's going to lose to Britt Baker. So the Beast thing, I'm not really buying it at all. And I just don't care enough about this. This is not. This is when I go in the kitchen to make a sandwich.
The fucking Divas matches.
It's not Britt. It's Nyla.
No, and it's just the fucking. I don't understand how the lights out match happens, and you say, "Wow, okay, maybe our division isn't a complete fucking joke," like everybody in this industry's been saying for the past year. And then Takehachi's like organically built, and you're like, "Great." And then Britt Baker delivers this promo about ushering in a new era. And she's doing all this awesome heel work where she's just getting nastier each week and cockier each week and talking about how she's the best each week. And then you have a cheeseburger celebration. And then someone who hasn't been on TV since March 15th throws cheeseburgers. And then you tell cheeseburger jokes. And then you have like a 60-year-old woman tag with her where people thought that maybe Thea Trinidad was going to be the one to wrestle instead of her. That doesn't happen. Okay, so what does happen? A fucking shitty match with nothing exciting while you have a roster of actual women's talent sitting there so that we can watch Nyla Rose and Vicky fucking Guerrero in the ring against Britt Baker and Rebel, who dislocated her kneecap. And I said to Matt before, I think I'm now one more women's way out from being completely at peace, because I think this just means officially that they just don't care. And they start to care when people bitch about it like I did for a year. And then they just decide to drop the ball again, because this is just the biggest horseshit, biggest slap in the face. It's not Britt's fault. It's not even really Nyla's fault at this point. It's just their dumb, careless storytelling that when you have a vagina is what happens on this program. It's absolutely atrocious. And for all of the detailed storytelling and the stables and the learning tree that we hear about with Dean Malenko and Arn Anderson, there's not a single fucking one of them on the women's side. I am so annoyed again, but I'm very close to just accepting that they just don't care. This is just the 10 minutes of programming where they decide to phone it in and just not give a shit, because you finally have a charismatic, exciting champion. And it is cheeseburgers and Vicky Guerrero paired with someone who wasn't on my screen since March 15th.
I have two things. One, I honestly don't know. What would have made anybody think that Thea Trinidad would step in to wrestle for Vicky Guerrero?
Like Andrade's big surprise being that Thea was a part of it and was going to like save Vicky from probably embarrassing herself.
But if the big surprise is something to do with Andrade, why would they waste it taking the spot of Vicky? Like, I don't see, in my mind, I don't see her stepping in for Vicky having anything to do with the surprise with Andrade. So I never once thought that. I don't know if that was something that a lot of people were thinking, but in my mind, that wouldn't have made any sense. So I never at one point thought that that was going to happen. I'm just being honest.
No. That's
a million years.
That's a totally fair school of thought. I think a lot of people thought it makes absolutely no fucking sense for Vicky Guerrero to get in the ring. So this is obviously going to set up someone who could be exciting and Thea can actually go all right. And would make sense with the Andrade storyline. And then, I don't know, maybe Vicky splinters off from it, or maybe it's the three of them or whatever. But there was a lot of thought about, like, it makes no sense that Vicky is going to be stepping in a ring. This must be setting up something with the Andrade announcement. Maybe it's Thea. So if not her, I think a lot of people thought somebody is going to keep Vicky Guerrero from getting in the ring in this spot.
It didn't
work out such a way.
Yeah, that to me, that's just too far-fetched. It makes sense for her to be involved because she's actually been managing, quote-unquote, Nyla Rose. So I got it from that standpoint. The other thing, too, with the cheeseburgers, yeah, it was a little cheese dick, but, like, it was a real-life thing, right? Like, Britt was pulling in the real thing that she got from McDonald's, and then the fact that nobody was backing her, both thought she could be kind of the champion or the face of the company. So that I didn't necessarily have a problem with. I think my biggest problem is I don't care about Nyla Rose. And even though I don't care about Nyla Rose, if she caused the whole problem at the celebration and threw the cheeseburgers everywhere, fine. We know that she's got an issue. Why? There's no reason in my mind for them to even have this match because we know that there's an issue. So for me, beyond all of the other things, beyond the possibility it could be Thea Trinidad, beyond whether you love the cheeseburger segment or not, this doesn't make sense because this match didn't need to happen. That's the end of story for me. Like, there's no point in having this.
Yeah, I mean, and it's just Chris Statlander's back, Penelope was back on TV, Jade Cargill and Britt would be a fucking fantastic collision of egos. Like, what are we doing? But I'm with you. Like, it makes no sense from a story perspective of why it had to happen, because we already know there's an issue there. This is not new information.
Right. Well, either way, moving on from the woes of the women's division, maybe we'll get past this and we'll get back to something good happening. But
I thought it might be Thunder Rosa and Andrade. All the Latinos speak and whatever. She could have come in and taken Vicky's place. Motherfucker. Sorry. Okay, we can move on. Sorry.
No, I get what you're saying. I just think there's no reason for anybody tied to Andrade to step in to save Vicky, because they're mutually, to me, they're not mutually exclusive. They're separate things. She's got Nyla Rose on one side and she's got Andrade on the other side. And Nyla Rose and Andrade don't need to touch. So I just don't think that this had anything to do with him or anybody saving her. I don't know what it was supposed to accomplish, but it didn't work for me. Anyway, let's just go on because we agree it didn't work. Commentary does hype up the next few weeks worth of shows. We will touch on the card for next week. First, real quick, there was a Jake Hager, Ortiz and Santana promo from a stairwell, and they're basically pointing out every time that they fight, the Pinnacle gets their ass whooped. Hager starts to point out that Wardlow took his loss well, but when his buddies had to jump in and MJF laid Dean Malenko out, that was, you know, kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. Santana says that when they finally meet head-to-head, they better bring all the fight they can. And since Tully Blanchard is going to be in FTR's corner, you best believe Conan will be in theirs. So the card for Road Rager next week looks like this. Andrade El Idolo versus Matt Sydal. We have the strap match with QT Marshall versus Cody Rhodes. So the paternity break is over for Cody. AEW Tag Team World Championship match will take place. It will be the Young Bucks facing Penta El Cero Mierdo and Eddie Kingston. We'll have the Inner Circle, which is Jake Hager, Santana and Ortiz with Conan versus the Pinnacle, Wardlow and FTR with Tully Blanchard. Chris Statlander and Orange Cassidy are also going to have a match against the Bunny and the Blade because of what the Blade did to Orange Cassidy on Saturday Night Dynamite. And we're also going to get Chris Jericho and MJF facing off in the ring, where MJF will tell Jericho what he needs to do in order to earn another match with MJF. So, Kate, this is the first live show back on the road for AEW. I think the card's pretty stacked up to be an exciting show. And, you know, every time they put these kind of specialty, quote unquote, dynamites together, they tend to be pretty good shows. Sometimes they're surprises, not all the time. So I don't know if we're going to get any surprises, but we are seeing Andrade get into the ring for the first time in AEW. Maybe we get a surprise there. You know, we have the strap match. I think they're really building this card smart for their first live show back on the road. Are you as excited for this show next week as I am?
Oh my goodness. Even today, I was just like, oh, full live crowds just rule. Being back on Wednesday nights just rules. Very excited for this. Very excited they're going to Pittsburgh. I can't wait for them to get back on the road, and it's a stacked card. And like you said, Tony Khan's always got those aces up them sleeves. See what happens.
Yeah, it should be a pretty good card for Road Rager next week. So after this, we go to our main event, MJF versus Sammy Guevara. We don't need to go through this entire match. We can touch on certain points through it. But it is worth mentioning that at the finish of this match, basically Sean Spears comes down the ramp with a chair, and he's about to get involved to the point where Jericho says to commentary, "I'm going to go take care of this before it gets out of hand." So Jericho starts to make his way across the stage, and Wardlow attacks from behind. Wardlow is able to distract the referee by throwing Jericho off of the stage, and Spears is able to hit Sammy Guevara in the head. MJF takes advantage. It's pinfall with basically a one-arm press on Sammy Guevara, and MJF is left with his pinnacle buddies standing tall to end this match. So, I want to stop there before we get to kind of the final thing of the night. But I thought this was a really fun match. I really just didn't kind of love the finish. Like, this was one of those points where I'm almost like they could have went to a time limit draw, and I would have been so happy, like, that this wasn't kind of finished. They really don't use many of those time limit draws or ties. You know, they did with Orange Cassidy because, you know, he had a concussion and stuff like that. But I thought this really could have been a spot where we didn't get a clear winner. I did not love the fact that there was deception and, you know, a smazzy finish. Matt, what are your thoughts on this main event?
I really, really enjoyed the match because there was the match itself told a great story. And I think we saw all sorts of facets from both of these guys that maybe you weren't familiar with them. MJF hitting nip ups like he was fucking Sammy Guevara throughout the first half of the match. They did a lot of chain wrestling, a lot of good back and forth stuff. MJF clearly knew Sammy's playbook, so he was ahead of it, and vice versa. Sammy knew what MJF was capable of doing, so they both had each other's number. And then MJF going after the arm, trying to set up Salt of the Earth, the knee buckling thing from the tombstone off the second rope. Sammy jumping from the ring to the outside was awesome. The 6:30 when MJF is begging him not to, loved it all. And here we go, Ant, for you. I did not mind the finish. The Pinnacle is a heel shit group, which means this feud with Sammy and MJF is not over. And I think this is where this MJF Jericho thing, Jericho bows out. He takes a back seat. Sammy is a huge star. I loved Jim Ross saying he reminds him of Gino Hernandez, because that's a great comparison. And I love that Sean Spears is, you know, such a chicken shit heel. And we've talked about it ad nauseum on this show. Like, just when he starts to get going, it seems like they pull the cord on him. Me and Ant were big on the glove thing with Tully. And then
I liked
nothing.
It too.
I'm sorry, Kate. My apologies. Okay, we were all in on the glove thing.
I was in on the glove.
And they kind of, it didn't really go anywhere. They put him in the Pinnacle. You think he's going to get, like, the rub, and he's kind of like the guy who eats the pin in the Pinnacle. So this is better for Sean Spears. I didn't mind the finish. My wife has, like, poison ivy, poison oak, poison sumac. She's a fucking disaster.
Oh, no. Ooh. Well, I'll try to keep it as quick as my rambling ass keeps it then. I'm somewhere in between you guys. So I didn't hate the finish. I loved Sammy Guevara, or I'm sorry, Sean Spears being responsible for Sammy Guevara's loss. Nice storytelling there. Nice continuity. I appreciate that even when they overdo these spots, which I feel like they definitely do, they always make sense. They're always pretty logical. But I am tired of feeling like Vince Russo is booking the show the past couple months. Like, enough with some of this stuff. But the match itself, I just can't say enough about. Like, I was thinking about how Eddie Kingston made that promo that everyone was talking about not in the way that I talk about Eddie Kingston, but like talking about all those things about how there's not guys that look like him other places in the industry and not the passion you see. And I'm like, well, Sammy and MJF definitely went and backed his shit up tonight, because that main event felt like a pay-per-view match to me. I don't know about you guys, like everything that I saw. I also can't remember the last time MJF had a singles match, just like in general. So it was really nice to see him just in the ring, just having a singles match. Fantastic, fantastic stuff. Really refreshing to see the way that this match was executed. Could have done without the schmoz finish. Think I would not have minded it nearly as much if we weren't so oversaturated with this Jets and the Sharks stuff the past like 4 or 5 weeks. But I do like Sammy being protected, the thing we always talk about, these protected losses. MJF going over, I thought was good, and Sean Spears being the cause of it all, also a really important facet of it. So I was kind of in between as far as the finish as you guys were, but I think we're all in agreement that the match itself was absolutely fantastic and that these two brought the best out of each other, and I can't wait for this feud to continue for the next 87,000 years.
Yeah, you know, I get Matt's point about, you know, they're a heel faction. They're going to win in heel fashion. I'm also with you, Kate, about the fact that, like, you know, with so many of these gang wars, you know, it's a little oversaturated. But, you know, just thinking through this now as we're talking, logically, this all does make sense, right? Because now MJF has to separate himself and go on to a thing with Jericho. And MJF is the leader of the Pinnacle. Is he really going to lose to Sammy Guevara? No. So it makes sense. Plus now we get to continue Sammy Guevara and Sean Spears, which is what we thought, you know, kind of we were going to get instead of this, you know, match with MJF. Although I'm super happy about this match with MJF, and they're going to have more clinics, I think, in the future. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. We've got the Jericho thing next week, where we're going to see the stipulations. We'll probably see something where Sammy's going to retaliate on Sean Spears at some point. So it'll be interesting to see where they go. I did want to mention, to end the show tonight, they did show Pinnacle celebrating the ring, but commentary did, you know, kind of talk about the fact that they have been at Daly's place for the past 15 months. They have run the same building with the same crew and people in Jacksonville. They made mention that people have, you know, really made Jacksonville their home for over a year. So they did have a really nice video package of the last 15 months of Dynamite that they put on television. Everything from, you know, kind of the opening night of the pandemic kind of programming, where Cody and Kenny and I don't remember who else was in the ring basically saying, we're here, we're going to get through this, and we're going to put on our shows. You know, and everything else in between that happened, you know, Matt Hardy making his debut.
Brody
Lee making his debut. Brody Lee's memorial, which all happened during the pandemic at Daly's place. His debut, his rise to TNT champion, his title shot, and his death. It's incredible to see that that all happened. You forget in the last, you know, year plus. In one building. I thought that it was a beautiful, beautifully well done package, video package. The unfortunate thing, Matthew,
she is fucking that, bows out just at this time.
I know. The unfortunate thing is that to end the show, they're talking about going back out on the road and how excited they are. And JR has to say that there's nothing like experiencing a WWE Dynamite live. It just was like, just a beautiful way to do it. And then we get that faux pas from JR. But, you know, again, guys, the reason I bring this up and maybe open it for discussion is the fact that I totally forgot about a lot of the shit that happened over the last 15 months. Not because it wasn't good, you know, it wasn't all great, but I think you just kind of don't realize how long they were at Daly's place. And I have to give credit to the doctor who shall not be named, but in the Discord, he mentioned, I totally forgot that Dynamite started in October of 2019 and they shut down live shows in March of 2020, which basically puts them at one quarter of their dynamites have been in front of a live crowd. I mean, obviously, these last few months we've had people in the stands, but it hasn't been packed houses like, you know, the buildings they were running prior to pandemic. So it's pretty impressive what they were able to accomplish in such a short, you know, kind of life of this company. So anything, you know, you guys want to talk about this video package stuff is fine. My question to you guys is, you know, anything that you forgot about that we witnessed over this pandemic that they kind of highlighted in here?
I mean, a lot of it, you kind of, after a while, you forgot that this, you know, it was just AEW Dynamite. You forgot that it was, it's almost like when you watch NXT, it's just always at the PC, you know, or whatever the fuck it's called, the Capital Wrestling Full Sail. Like, you just kind of get used to it. Like, at this point, we'd been used to it. It kind of became routine, you know. Unfortunately, a lot of people fell into routines during the pandemic that are very not routine things, and this was one of them. And now they're going back on the road. You forget, like, Hardy, Brody Lee, FTR, Sting, The Big Show, Christian, Mike Tyson, all were on Dynamite from Daly's Place. So it was a great look back and done well, and it was a great reminder of what the last 15 months have been like down there in Jacksonville.
Shaquille O'Neal, baby, going through his evil. Snoop Dogg's atrocious frog splash thing. That was all at Daly's Place. You know, I think part of the reason it was easy to forget about that too is, like you alluded to, 75% of their shows about have been at Daly's Place. So it's like they weren't even on the road long enough to cement that identity so well. Like, it's not like we'd seen a bunch of AEW shows and then this happened. It was like, it happened so early in their existence. So I think just how routine it got was based off of the fact that that's kind of all we knew of this company. But I thought it was just a really cool move for them to even do that. Like, what a special thing for the live crowd to experience, for everybody who now cleans Daly's Place once a week or whatever, for all the employees that made it happen during the pandemic. Like, what a special tribute to put all that together, and a nice reminder of, you know, it's so much of AEW's existence. Like, that's what was so special about Double or Nothing, was like Eddie Kingston, my boy, but like in general, the first time he's hearing an AEW crowd, like, you forget that he was there 8 months with no full crowd. Like, it's nuts. So yeah, I think the percentage of their existence made you forget the fact that, like, oh, that's not supposed to be the norm. So I thought it was really cool that they went out of their way to edit that together.
Yeah, just another well done video package from AEW. And that ended the show for the night. So we're on to next week. We're Road Rager back out on the road for the next month. And then I think August 4th, they're going back to Jacksonville, I think, for like one stop. And then they're going to go back out into other locations on the road. So,
AKA, there was an arena that they were supposed to secure that didn't come through.
Yeah, well, listen, there are still different restrictions in place everywhere. I know that AEW recently announced that the show that they were supposed to do in Boston is pushed back again. Depending on what you might be reading out there, you know, there are certain people saying it is because tickets weren't selling, so they pushed it. But there are other pieces of information out there saying the building was on Boston. I think it was Boston University campus. And the campus is actually using it as an immunization location for the staff and students. So that's why they're not doing it there. But either way, I think they're still going to probably deal with that for a little bit. They probably did have something lined up, Kate, that fell through, so they're just going to go back to Daly's. But either way, it'll be really fun to see them back out on the road in front of live crowds who are getting back out there for the first time. So, some news and notes, and we're going to wrap it up here. We've been alluding to it all night. Jungle Man Jack Perry is now the Jungle Man, because apparently him and Anna Jay are exchanging bodily fluids.
That's such a gross way to phrase it.
Nah, I think we're all adults here. Makes sense.
First of all, we're not, they could be saving themselves for all we know. Oh, but that stop. Ass grab says otherwise.
Yeah, no.
So they're fucking wrestlers. Fuck out of here.
Yeah.
It could be over the clothes stuff for all you know.
Look, first of all,
OTPHJ?
All right, Anna Jay looks like a goer, so you know she's not just.
Whoa!
Yeah. They're different. They're different in the South. That's what I'm told.
Yo, if I had mean, that,
good for I, both of them. That couple is goals.
I was gonna say, if I had the head of lettuce Jungle Boy does, I'd be throwing it anywhere I can.
Let me ask you guys this: do you cackle like me when you look at the people on the internet who were genuinely like thought they had a chance with Anna Jay and now they loathe, like they legit think that like they had a shot with Anna Jay. Strangers who yeah. just follow her on social media thought they had a shot with her and now they are just, they hate Jungle Boy and Anna Jay's a whore. It's fucking, people are wild. It's wild. The internet is crazy.
This is why you don't like to meet strangers at shows, is because these are the people. And there's people that are very funny about it. We're not talking about them. There's people that are like, oh, there goes my shot with Anna Jay. Ha ha, I really had one. And then there's people that are like, I now have to kill Jungle Boy to win her back. Fucking crazy. And yes, I cackle right along with you, Matthew.
Do you think she does foot pictures for money?
If she was smart, if she was smart, she would.
Hell yeah, she would.
Fucking Shotzi Blackheart was selling her Super Bowl dumps.
Hey, I mean, any way to make a buck, I would. No, why not? Yeah. So it is worth mentioning that some of the responses were especially funny. I think that Dax basically responded, "So what was all that one in a million talk?" That was one of the great lines from Dumb and Dumber.
That's amazing.
Yeah, Luchasaurus tweeted something like, "Does she have any 65 million year old friends?" So some of the responses were pretty funny. But it's
Atlas had the best one.
What was it? Go ahead.
Hey man, remember when everyone thought you were gay, and then there's this picture of him kissing like the hottest woman in the world and grabbing her booty? You win, Jungle Boy. You lost the title, but you won the girl.
Kenny didn't really win that night.
You can't lose something if you don't have it, Kate.
It's true. Don't think about it.
He didn't lose any title.
That's right. My God. Okay, you didn't win the title, but you did win her heart.
Maybe. You don't know. It's the 21st century. They could just be banging.
He won her butt.
There could be no love. It could just be lust.
What was that? But
they went to public.
Wait, what did you say about her butt?
I said he might not have won her heart, but he won her butt.
Whoa. All right. It is just amazing how many people were really responsive to that. And I know, like Matt said, the ghouls out there who were like, "Hey, thought Anna Jay would go out with me."
I'm here to tell you, you all had a shot until Jungle Boy took it away from you. Every single one of you had a shot at Anna Jay until Jungle Boy swept in. You should be so mad that Jungle Boy did that to you personally.
Kate, do you think Jungle Boy wears a condom?
It doesn't feel very like
jungly, right?
Jungly, yeah.
If anything, he just wraps it up in a palm leaf.
Do you think they do it to his song?
No, they do it to the Phil Collins Tarzan song.
You'll be in my heart.
Yes, you'll be in my heart, 100%.
Wow, there you go.
Because Phil Collins makes people want to bang.
Well, that's very true.
I like that it's that song. It's not like Coming in the Air Tonight or
Coming in the Air Tonight. Is that the
I
name
can
of the song?
Feel it coming.
It's just called In the Air Tonight, Kate. Coming in the Air Tonight, you freak.
That's the sex version.
But yeah, there you go. There's like the radio edit and then like the sex edit, right, and then the shoot version.
Yes,
I think Genesis is also coming around on tour. I'd love to go see Genesis.
Oh, I would love to go see Genesis.
Fuck yeah.
Let's make it happen.
All right.
Newark, Arthur Ashe, ROH, Genesis.
And Kate, I don't know if you were here, but Limp Bizkit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're going with Sunny Kiss to that.
I could go see Limp Bizkit.
Come on, Matt. Limp Bizkit.
For free.
We have two shots.
For free.
In Asbury Park or at Irving Plaza, I think.
Ooh, Irving
Plaza. Or Hammerstein.
Plaza.
One of them.
All right, let's get on with the shenanigans here.
Trying to. We're asking about Jungle Boy condoms and all that stuff. It did come out that Trent had neck fusion surgery last week. He missed roughly the first 4 months of 2021 with a torn pectoral muscle, and then he came back in the van at the Arcade Anarchy match on March 31st. And then he only wrestled in like 4 matches. His last one was April 21st episode of Dynamite. He lost against Penta. And then he basically had neck fusion surgery. He just announced that on Twitter kind of like this week. Neck fusion surgeries in wrestling are basically like out of action for a year or longer. It is not clear if that's the timetable. Nobody has said anything yet, but if it is, that means Trent will be gone for another year. So we'll see what happens. If maybe, maybe Chucky will become a butler again.
I also just wanted to shout out, Asian Joe asked, do we call Anna Jay Anna Jane now that she's with Tarzan Jungle Man?
Oh my God.
Oh
boy. See the friends I bring in. That's right. More puns.
Well, speedy recovery for Trent.
There you go.
No, that blows.
So, remember when Jericho took that bump off the top of the cage at Blood and Guts and basically everybody jumped all over him? Well, he went on Saturday Night Special on his YouTube stream and basically said that, I could say names. There's a couple of chicks in the WWE who said some stuff that they should probably not have said. They probably weren't trained any better. And in 6 months, they'll probably be asking us for a job anyways. And I'll remember that. So we'll leave it at that. So it sounds like Jericho is keeping a list of names of people who were shit talking him.
I liked that one. He's taking shots at people all the time. You're telling me if Shotzi Blackheart was out of a job, he wouldn't be like, yeah, come here and fix this fucking
division.
First of
all, he's Chris Jericho. I think he's earned the right to take shots at people. If you're some fucking NXT nobody who has a Twitter, you should probably not take a shot at Chris Jericho. I don't know who it was.
Shotzi put a gif of a girl like falling into her bed, and Shotzi Blackheart takes like Darby Allin bumps.
She also takes
it's a joke.
Of her duty and sends it to people.
Yeah, you don't see Jericho sending duty pics.
I mean, maybe he hasn't cornered that market yet.
Shame on him.
And I mean, how much duty can you do?
How much duty could a duty doer do if it?
Right, well, Jericho's got
can't keep it rolling.
Jericho's got a list. Good for him. I got his book the other day. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I gotta order it. Did not make it to
are you really are like a secret millionaire, Matt.
Who?
You.
No, it's a book. Yeah,
bucks.
Kate.
It's a book in a grand scheme of many an order. And I'm gonna stop talking because I don't want you to have to explain yourself in front of your wife.
Why?
But
my wife sees the mail. She moved my Macho Man poster that I haven't opened yet that showed up the other day.
Ooh. Gotta get a frame and gotta get it up on the wall.
I got the frame. It's on the wall.
There you go.
I just got to put it in it.
AAA did announce that full Triple Mania card for April. For August 14th. Included in that is the AAA Tag Team Championship, which will see Phoenix and Pentagon returning to AAA, and they will be defending their titles against Hio Del Vikingo and Laredo Kid, as well as Taurus and a surprise luchador.
Taurus.
So it'll be a
Taurus.
So my apologies. Looked like my Ford Taurus. also on the card is the highly anticipated match, Kenny Omega defending his AAA Mega Campeonato title against Andrade. So that's that. Just the news for some AEW guys in AAA. And then pretty much, well, Kate, this was something that came from you before we get to the Eddie talk, because you'll probably go on for an hour about it. But you said you had something about Tony Khan talking about refereeing in AEW.
Oh, yeah. So, okay. So what actually happened, I thought was funny. I think it was Busted Open where, oh, it was, because Bully Ray, who made the news a few times this week, was like, hey, all your referees have different rules and that sucks. And Tony Khan was like, nobody cares about my referees when I'm putting Penta and Phoenix against the Young Bucks on the screen. And I kind of appreciated the way he blew past it. And it was kind of funny. But then I got yelled at on Twitter by a bunch of marks who said, nobody cares about referees. Because I was like, actually, they do all have different rules. And it sucks. And it takes me out of matches. And it's annoying. And like any other creative obstacle, it keeps me from buying in. Just play by your own rules, man. What are the rules? So he was getting some like feedback for that. And then when I agreed with Bully Ray, I got some feedback for that. But it was just kind of noteworthy because that seems to be a persistent complaint among A, the Mark Order, and B, people in general, that it's like, hey, Aubrey and Rick Knox are two very different referees in the same promotion. And there's leniency. And then there's being so lenient, there's no point in having rules or a referee in the first place. So he did not even like acknowledge that, which makes me think they're either very much addressing it or not addressing it at all. Because he just steamrolled it.
Well, I do wish there was consistency among the refereeing. Again, we've had this discussion. It's, I get leniency between the referees, but there needs to be some sort of consistency.
I got told on Twitter today that consistency makes repetition, which makes your ratings go down. And I got told that I was self-centered because I like consistent refereeing.
You should probably just stay off Twitter.
Yeah, I probably should.
Were you on our Twitter doing that shit?
No.
Well, I've seen some of the jokes you put out on
Twitter. I reined it in.
All right. Well, I'm going to change the password.
I get that a lot.
All right, and this is probably the biggest news of the week, and we mentioned it before and Kate brought it up again. So last Saturday, after Dynamite went off the air, Eddie Kingston came out to kind of send the crowd home happy, right? That's what he said. And basically he shot on the WWE a little bit. I don't have a full kind of transcript with what he said. But basically some of the quotes that he said, it's about everyone in the locker room. It's about AEW every week. That's what I'm talking about, because the competition sometimes doesn't want to hear their fans. Well, I guess I'm burning another bridge. Surprise. AEW cares about their fans. We are not here just to get ourselves a paycheck. We're here every week with you people, without you people. And we come out here and we bust our asses because we love professional wrestling. I will give the devil his due, but you saw a match between Kenny Omega and my dude Jungle Boy that you will not see on the other channel. You will not see legends who are respected on the other channel. You will not see people like me or my best friend here on the other channel. And you will not see the heart that everybody in the locker room has on the other channel. And that's kind of the end of the quote about him kind of shooting on the WWE. So that was the big news over the weekend. It got traction, as we talked about, on AEW Elevation, Dark Elevation. They actually opened the show with that whole, post-show kind of speech from Eddie. So you can see the whole thing in its entirety. I don't believe they edited it at all, because all that stuff is in there. But the big news also came today, because Grandpa Bully Ray decided to get on Busted Open and give his side or his opinion. So Bully Ray said, I love Eddie Kingston to death. If we're having promo wars and I was the captain of the team and somebody said, you get to pick one person to do the promo for you, I'd most likely pick Eddie because his believability, his tone, his inflection, blah, 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 blah. He goes on to say, in this case, Eddie needs to shut the fuck up and stay in his lane. And his lane is as an AEW guy speaking about AEW and flying the flag for AEW. Then I'm completely on board. Tell me about how great AEW is. Fly the flag for your company. Show me that you wear your heart on your sleeve. He said, don't take the easy way out and knock the WWE. because if you go back and you listen to the fans, they really don't pop that hard when he took a jab at the WWE. So guys, Bully Ray defending apparently the WWE here and saying it doesn't make sense to shoot on them. What the fuck is going on here? Why do we anybody give a shit? Why can't he talk? Why can't he just shut the fuck up, take his own advice, and just let this live?
This is a war.
Right. Bully Ray's trying to get himself an angle on TV.
He already probably has it. This is a work. They're going to start some internet war. Eddie Kingston's going to challenge him to an unsanctioned fight at All Out or whatever, and Bully Ray's going to go there, and they're going to fight, and Eddie Kingston's going to win, and he's going to say he has his respect, and that'll be... That's what Bully Ray's role is. Ironically enough, I was listening to Busted Open the other day, and he said he wants to get involved with wrestling if the story makes sense. He's not going to just come back. That he, you know, raved about the stuff he did with Flip, in that storyline, how it was like a slow build. Like, I think this is a work. There's no other reason for Bully Ray to say anything, unless he feels that way. But I think it's a work, and I think you're going to get like a New York style hardcore fucking All Out match, brother, at fucking All Out between Bully and Eddie Kingston. Your microphone's not on.
Guys, here's the thing. Eddie Kingston is better than everyone at everything. So he can say whatever he wants. I think it's a work, but I don't think it's as far as Matt's going. And there was, I forget, one of the Good Brothers tweeted something that also made me think this way. I think he's trying to get an angle with AEW and is not working. I think he saw Mark Henry go land himself a job, and now he's a little jelly cakes. And so he's trying to work this into something that's not going to happen. It's stupid. What Eddie Kingston said was great. To say shut the fuck up and stay in your lane when you have his track record is about the dumbest shit I've ever heard. And you know what Eddie Kingston's lane is? Selling motherfucking tickets. And I think it's smart to say you have the better product before two competing companies go out on the road. And I think Eddie Kingston was right about probably 90% of what he said. As always, because Eddie rules. And he's better than everyone at all of the things to ever exist. And he could crush Bully Ray with just one stomp of his boot.
Okay.
I love Eddie Kingston.
Clearly. Clearly. My goodness. Well, that's it, folks. That's all the news and the notes for this week. Stay tuned for As the World Turns with Eddie Kingston and Bully Ray. We'll see if it's a work. And who knows, Matt? Maybe it's something they're building for Arthur Ashe. I hope not. Yeah,
like a New York street fight.
I don't have a burp to add. I'm sorry.
Well, next week is what's next week? Road Ranger.
Rager.
Road Rager.
Rage, brother.
Road Ragers. Road next Rager. Week. Be sure to follow the Mark Order on all social media platforms at Mark Order Pod, facebook.com/Mark Order Pod. If you are in the Facebook, you watch this tonight, please invite your friends. Bring your friends in. We'll have a good time. I know Asian Joe was crushing in there. Mr. Hanley was this with the joke skis. I go Milwaukee Tom dropped in. Lots of people were there tonight. So, look, if you're enjoying yourself, you have nothing to do on a Wednesday night, or you carved out this special time to be with us, please tell your friends, get more people in here, spread the word on the Mark Order. We have a good time doing this, and we hope it gives you some quality entertainment and allows you to punch out from the real world for a couple hours.
For sure. Couldn't say it any better myself, Matthew.
See, I knew I was good for something.
Something.
Is that it? Do we say anything else? Do you guys have anything else to say before we go home?
Good night, Gracie.
Oh, Kate. Stealing gimmicks of lesser shows.
Oh, it's Matt's favorite day of the week. I just thought I would try and bring him a little taste of Monday nights. Speaking of that show, listen to The Shining Wizards every Monday.
No. Don't fucking bury me and then try and put me over, Kate. All right.
First of all, I also want to say, Matt's not putting us over anywhere else. We're not putting him over anywhere else.
That's a very fair point. And so, you're right.
There we go.
All right. Look.
Good night, other people who may or may not be named Grace.
We play the commercials, and that's good enough.
That's it. That's all you need to do. All right. All right. I can't do fucking everything. Why don't you two? Kate does 600 different podcasts. Put the fucking Mark Order podcast over. Let me guess. Kevin Gill Flake. That's a shocker.
This is the only podcast.
Do one podcast right now.
Reach out to your friends. Say, hey, I got a podcast to promote. Come on. We'll talk about fucking terrible Billie Eilish or whatever garbage music you like to listen to.
Fuck you. I'm working.
That's done. All right. She's muted. See? Yeah, that's the power of the mute button. It is strong.
Hey, I do have something that, you know, like we said, we're holding out hope that maybe at some point, you know, somebody in the Wingmen catches wind that we're trying to get Kate a makeover. So reach out to the members of the Wingmen. Hashtag Wingmen Wing Makeover.
There it is. Make me pretty.
That's right. The video clip is on our Twitter, on our Instagram, on our Facebook. You know, make sure those guys know that we're looking for a makeover for Kate. And we'll see what we can do. Maybe they'll jump on in one night and we'll have some. Oh, God, Kate, not without the makeover. Jesus. Oh, my God. So as Matt said, give us a follow on our social. Thank you for listening. And anything you could do to help spread the word on the Mark Order podcast, we truly appreciate it and all the love that we get from all y'all out there. So stay tuned. Next week, we'll be back with a report on Road Rager.
Goodbye and good night.
This concludes the Mark Order Podcast. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming. Join the Mark Order.